Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
This podcast is sponsored by eHarmony, the dating app that helps people find genuine connection. Let's be honest, the days of dating only one person at a time feel a little old school. In their recent Dating Diaries report, eHarmony found that 45% of Gen Z singles are comfortable dating more than one person at the same time. But it's a balance, right? Have you ever spread yourself too thin? Well, dating multiple people at the same time is fine while you're honest about it. It can be exhausting constantly searching for that special connection with someone. eHarmony can help you find that genuine connection by helping you find someone who gets you, so you don't have to throw quite so many lines out there. Their well-rounded personality quiz and expansive profiles help to show the real you and can lead to that genuine connection you've been searching for. So join the dating app that gets to know their users better so they can match better and see for yourself. Get someone who gets you. Start a conversation on eHarmony today.
Corolla Classics is brought to you by LifeLock. Cybercriminals aren't going to let the COVID-19 crisis stop them from using tax fraud to take what's not theirs. You know, there was that huge Twitter hack, Geo, that happened this week. There's this kind of cyber criminal activity happening right now. And identity thieves are getting smarter all the time.
And lazier.
It's getting easier for them. So this is how it's going to make it easier for you guys. Get LifeLock. All right, that's what you need for comprehensive protection. LifeLock is a leader in identity theft protection, and it detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. All right, protect yourself. This is important, everybody. It's LifeLock, right, Gio?
That's right. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Hello and welcome to Corolla Classics for July 18th, 2020. The show where we highlight the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show by playing you some amazing clips that Gio cut for us. My name's Chris Loxamon, executive producer of The Adam Carolla Show, and with me, as always, Carolla archivist, superfan Giovanni.
Every clip I cut, Chris is with me in spirit and my heart.
That's right. Yeah, you know, I think I should get all the credit then, because that's really important.
He installed a chip in my heart. If I don't cut these clips, he's going to blow me up.
Well, speaking of clips, let's get to the first one. But first, I want to remind everybody, GEICO is now offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit GEICO.
15%?
I know. Too good to be true. So visit geico.com for more info. All right, this first clip features improv superstar Matt Besser. He is one of the founders of UCB, and he came
Upright
in
Citizens Brigade.
That's right, and he came in 2012.
He did. He was first on the show. All right, he was first on air with Adam back in Loveline 2001. All three of the UCB dudes showed up, minus Amy. It's a legendary episode. Then the UCB guys came on promoting a show called Players. They had the Spike Network, and that was just Matt and Ian and their co-stars, and that was the other Matt. And they came on and they promoted all that stuff, but Adam wasn't there. They were guest hosting. And so this is the only time he's ever reunited on air with Matt Besser. After 11 years, the first time they met, he came in studio back in 2012, an episode with David Wilde, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. This is just Matt's interview. Adam Carolla Show 813 from May of 2012. Check it out.
And now Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew. On the Adam Carolla Show, Dateline, Winter Park, Florida, a 42-year-old man was arrested for peeping over a bathroom stall in a woman's restroom at Epcot Center. Definitely not a Jew.
Ah, yes. Baseball season underway. You want some tickets? You want to get right up there close?
Good luck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
They're too expensive for anybody. Certainly too expensive for me.
You make me laugh, cheap one.
Why even bothering talking about this?
Really?
Out of our price range.
Yeah? Not with scorebig.com. Save up to 60%. How would that sound go?
Yoinks.
Save up to 60% from the bleachers to the front row.
Damn.
Yeah. But maybe baseball's not your bag.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to see some hoops.
Maybe I don't want to see sports in it or anything. Maybe you want to see a concert.
That's right. That's right, some our Broadway
event.
Show.
Yeah.
You pick the game. You pick the performance. You pick where you want to sit, and you pick your price.
Okay, I will.
Yeah. I tried.
I feel like I've been given an assignment.
I said, you pay me $1,000, and I perform. I'm actually on the diamond. I throw the first four innings.
What'd they say?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. They're good, but they're not that good.
Perhaps a less outrageous demand.
Yes, they're not magicians. Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah. Let's face it. Score big. They'll tell you instantly whether your offer's accepted, and that's all you pay. Go to scorebig.com, click on the radio button, enter in the code Adam, always less than full price, never any fees. I love that. Scorebig.com, promo code Adam. Matt Besser, good to see you.
Big fan.
Oh, really?
Long-time listener. First-time guest. Thanks for
founder of UCB, everybody, with Amy Poehler and Matt Walsh, who we've had on the show before.
Do you remember the first time we met at the we're filming that commercial that was with synchronized swimming for Comedy Central? Do you remember that?
Oh,
they had us inside a...
Tell me.
It was, I mean, you were doing a man show ad.
We were doing
a UCB
ad. Yes, we're doing a promo for that. Yes.
And the common denominator was synchronized swimming. Do you not remember that?
I do remember doing – we didn't do a lot of – Comedy Central didn't do a whole tons of campaigns.
Exactly. But, so when they do so one, you're like, this is what's going to represent us?
Right. And I do remember doing the synchronized swimming one, and I think we did one where we went to an old age home, but at some point they threw us out or something.
For real.
It's all just like a lifetime ago.
Did you guys have to get in the pool?
No, that might have made it a little funnier.
Yeah, we should have gotten
the
pool.
And they didn't want that. That would not be appropriate.
So how did you start the UCB Theater?
Well, we moved to New York, and we had this improv that we do that was only really done at that point in Chicago. And we started teaching classes, and all these teams wanted us to coach them. And eventually it just became economically sensible.
Chicago
to get a theater.
Because of Second City, you think?
Yeah, all this kind of improv. You've seen it, right? I think you've done our show, haven't you?
Yeah.
Have you ever done Ask Cat? Yeah.
I'm trying to – I've done a ton of improv. I'm thinking back because here's how improv works.
Okay.
There's, 11 people in the company, and there's always two people where you go, fuck, I don't want to be on stage with this fucking asshole. Or it's some chick who's just not
funny.
Because
they're a steamroller. Oh, because they're
not steamroller,
funny.
Well, both. If they were a quiet steamroller –
right.
Which is like a bad, easy listening station. The quiet steamroller. And that's one thing. But they're the person who are like, you're on one knee and lights come up and you've started some physical activity. And they go, and you say to them, bring that wood over here so we can get this fire started. And they go, when are you going to be done fixing that flat? And you're like, oh, that's right. I'm now jacking up a car. Okay, thank you very much. And then you go, listen, we were married for a lot of years, but now that we're divorced, we're going to have to figure out a way to get along. And they're like, we're never married. And you're like, oh, fuck, I got to kill this person. But you're in the middle of the scene. So you have your inner dialogue of, I'm going to fucking kill them. And then your outer dialogue of, I have to come up with something funny. You've been in that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you know what it reminds me of, oddly enough, is one time I did mushrooms while improvising.
Wow.
It was a mistake, but it was Halloween.
Always a mistake.
It was a mistake.
It's like when you do mushrooms, you think mushrooms plus anything is going to equal fun. And
right.
Then you do that one thing. But we did some shrooms that night, and not everyone in our group did psychedelics. So it was like three of us were doing it and four of us weren't. We didn't tell the guys who weren't doing it that we were doing it. But like halfway into it, if you've ever seen anyone on shrooms, like or LSD, time slows down. And
sure.
Like every second of your life, they're going through 5 or 10 seconds, So I'm on stage and I'm like, is everybody waiting for me to say something? And I got this flop sweat. And then one of the guys, the kind of blue-collar guys who wasn't doing LSD, pulls me backstage. He's like, are you fucking tripping right now, man? You know how you are when you're on drugs.
That is.
No, man, I'm not, with my saucer eyes.
I've done the mushrooms. A couple things with mushrooms. Uh-huh. I always say mushrooms is like fish and chips. Like, you have fish and chips, and you go, why the fuck do I wait so long in between fish and chips? Like, this is good shit. I fucking love this. You know what? And then it's like smash cut to 9 years later, and you're having your second basket of fish and chips. Like, every time I do mushrooms, I go, this is fucking awesome, man. I should do this more often. And then 10 years goes by. But
You've never had a bad one?
No. I've had the oh man, I ate a pot brownie and I'm not going to be able to get out of this for a long time.
Oh, right.
I've had that one. I've had those kinds of drug experiences like, I'm in it for the long haul. I'm not going anywhere. And I wish I could get out. Like, this is like some charity poker game where I wish I could just push all my chips in.
Yeah.
But Adam, you have no pairs and you're a 9 high. Yeah. I'm putting it all in. Putting it all in.
There should always be an antidote. Right there. In case you made a mistake.
I think maybe a quart of buttermilk would help even things out, or at least would fall under the couldn't hurt category.
Right.
But I do want to think the thing where I'm just going, I'm going to let Vince Vaughn sit here for another 3 hours, but I'm off this fucking table. But right. there's no cashing in your chips with mushrooms.
Yeah, and you got to roll up in a ball roll, under
you got to roll with it. And there's that element of you never know how it's going to affect you. So you don't want to make the mistake of taking too little, because why you could deprive yourself of hallucinating.
And yet, have you ever heard anyone regret that mistake
of taking too little?
No. You know what? They don't regret it the next day, but they regret it in the moment when three of their friends are having the fucking time of their life and they're going, "I'm not rolling, man. I'm just watching you really high."
They've been on it for 45 minutes. They're like, "I think I can take some more."
Mm-hmm. But I've had that thing where people go, "I want to get really high on mushrooms and go to Disneyland." And I'm like, I got Disneyland going on in my frontal lobe right now. Like, the whole reason – it's Disneyland or mushrooms for me. I'm here on this futon staring at the ceiling. I got all the Disneyland I need right here in my apartment. That's why mushrooms are great.
Disneyland is the poor man's with $70 to spare shrooms.
Right. Yeah,
I did do LSD and go to Disney. What's in LA or California?
Land.
I went to Disneyland, and you think it's going to be the greatest thing ever. But what you start focusing on? I started focusing on the negative. What's the name of the big
Matterhorn?
Yeah, the Matterhorn. I started seeing all the cracks in the Matterhorn.
Oh, no.
That's all I could focus.
That's
on.
What'll happen.
Disney's seedy underbelly.
Going out and doing improv high on mushrooms seems just like a horrible idea, unless the audience is high on mushrooms, and then it seems like a great idea.
Weren't.
No. And where'd you meet Amy Poehler? UCB?
We all met in Chicago at this place called the Improv Olympics, Matt Walsh, Gene Roberts, and Amy Poehler. She's a little bit younger than us, so she came around about 4 years after we started. But that's where we started, and then we decided we want to be like Kids in the Hall, have our own sketch show. So we moved to New York. And then the theater wasn't really a plan. It just kind of organically happened.
We did the improv. We had this weird thing where our improv troupe, which was Acme at the time, took on the Improv Olympics. And it was sort of like a fat white guy version of You've Been Served. You know what I mean? Like, if you couldn't dance.
You got served.
Yeah,
bring
you got
on.
Served. Yeah, or bring it on. Like if you couldn't dance, but you could talk.
Sure.
Yeah.
And sit on blocks, black blocks. It was that version of that. And
who judges something like that?
I think the audience or something. I went over to the other team because they were, like, shorthanded, and then we won. So it was this weird thing where, like, we're driving home and everyone's kind of pissed off that, like, we got beat, except for I didn't get beat because I played on their team. I took it. I took it as a victory. I took it as a W. The movie, by the way, Freak Dance is
speaking of
East
bring
Coast
it on, you
tour starts May 9th through the 22nd. How's that? Or you can go online, by the way, freakdancemovie.com. Find it in a theater near you. Amy Poehler's in this one. Timmy Meadows in this one. Lots of Horatio Sanz. I just did a Disney cartoon. I didn't. I just saw Horatio Sanz 2 days ago, or yesterday actually, and I wanted to say to Horatio Sanz, who was wearing glasses and had a beard, Have you always been this not fat, or do you just seem fat because you have a big head, or did you lose weight? I don't know what the.
You know, he lost like 80 to 100 pounds
did he
at
lose,
some point.
There's something. But on the other hand, everyone's head looks big on TV. Now he had a beard, so I wasn't sure. And his head still was kind of big, but he's lost weight.
Now, a lot. Yeah, at the end of SNL, he was pretty bad. He was pretty obese there, and he knew it. And I think it was affecting his health in obvious ways. So he went hardcore, no more drinking and eating a lot better, and he lost a ton of weight.
Well, you know, what was weird is we were hanging out doing this Disney VO, And oh yeah, I guess he did drop a couple. I didn't know what to say, but we're just, and it was nicely catered, and I knew it looked like he lost 80 or 100 pounds, and it's this weird thing where it's like, but I saw him reaching for a scone. And it's like this thing where you're like, you want to judge, like, well, that's not going to get you any further to your goal weight. Like I didn't know what to say, but he's a totally nice guy. And then I was like, well, why can't he eat a fucking scone? And by the way, he's probably going to throw it up when he gets home or whatever his regimen is. Yeah, if he's smart. But
so you told him, go ahead and eat that scone.
Eat that fucking scone. Yeah. Yeah, we played cops that were shaped like pastries or donuts in some new
Disney
movie.
Well, maybe
he
was just getting into character.
Yeah, method
it's
actor.
A hit! Mm-hmm. So what's this movie about?
Well, you know the movie The Warriors, right? You must have grown up on that like I did. That's about gangs in New York. Mm-hmm. So picture The Warriors, but instead of gangs, they're dance crews.
Mm.
Is that fair enough?
Wow, we're just talking about this. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. No, it's a parody of all dance movies, but it's I hate to say parody because there's so many lame parody movies out these days, and I think that's what people think about. But I think it's more like what Rocky Horror did for Frankenstein. You know, we kind of created our own world,
and
dance world.
What'd you shoot it on?
Red camera?
And that's what everyone tells me. Yeah. So it's a digital.
That's the fancy but cheap way to shoot movies these days, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shot digitally.
Uh-huh. 13 days. We used real dance crews instead of a bunch of fat white guys trying to dance. We got real dance crews from America's Best Dance Crew, and So You Think You Can Dance. So we have legitimate dancing in the movie.
The dance crew thing, it feels like it was something that was around in the 80s, and then it went away. And then they got the band back together.
The 90s were not good years for dance crews.
Yes. A lot of guys going solo. So that is out May 9th through the 22nd.
Yeah, we're going to be touring up the – starting the South and going up the East Coast with that, and I'll be touring with the movie.
Shall we do a little news, Allison Rosen?
Yes, let's.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison. Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with Zip It Cunt. It's Allison. Allison.
The White House Correspondents' Dinner was Saturday. We talked a bit about that
At
our live show hosted by your friend Jimmy Kimmel, and we have some clips to discuss.
Yeah.
First of all, Obama mentioned the Man Show.
Somebody tweeted me that, or a few people tweeted me that. I caught the last 5 minutes of Obama and all of Jimmy, and I thought, you know, it's got to suck. My first thought was, Jesus Christ, I'd be a nervous wreck doing this if I was Jimmy. And then I thought, what would make this a lot easier is if you had Jimmy Carter, maybe Gerald Ford, or hell, Abe Lincoln doing it before you, where the guy wasn't a barrel of laughs. But this guy's charismatic, and he's pretty good at it. And in this day and age, if you're going to be a president, you're going to have to be good on camera, good on your feet, and you have to be a good orator. Like, there's just no more, hey, I'm AM radio crackling, you know, people around it. You got to go on The Tonight Show and be delightful, you know? And he has good writers. Like, he's done this stuff before.
Yeah.
He's on his, what, third one of these things? Is that right? Four? He's done.
Kimmel or Obama?
Obama.
Fourth.
Obama.
This is fourth.
This will be his fourth.
But so the point is if you're a comedian and you're going to, you know, if you're doing a roast and you're going to go on after a comedian, you don't want that comedian to kill.
Yeah.
Because you're going to go on and not be as good as the person who went on before you. But if that person who's on before you is the president of the United States and he's fucking funnier than you are, you are fucked. So what's your hope?
He's going to kill you on explaining the Federal Reserve, so you got to beat him in comedy.
Yeah, so what you want is this guy to be like a little stiff and a little stilted and not quite that good. Then you go, let the pro. But what you don't want is someone going, fucking president was funnier than Kimmel was, in which case you're totally fucked. So when I saw Obama's last 5-6 minutes and he was killing, I was like, oh, fuck it, Kimmel, you got your work cut out for you now.
Kimmel said, the most terrified I've ever been was the first time I went on Letterman. This was number two.
Mm-hmm.
And he also said, it's just a very strange room. One person told me afterward they were scared to laugh at a joke because they were sitting next to House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, who I didn't even realize was there.
We've all been there.
Mm-hmm. She didn't want him to see her laughing at a joke I made about him. Half the people on any given joke have to keep the laughter to themselves.
That's terrible.
I feel the same way, but in clubs. Should we listen to Brock?
Our chaperone for the evening is Jimmy Kimmel. Who is perfect for the job since most of tonight's audience is in his key demographic, people who fall asleep during Nightline. Jimmy got his start years ago on The Man Show.
Wow, surreal.
In Washington, that's what we call a congressional hearing on contraception.
If I had nerve endings, I'd really feel something right now.
You don't feel anything? Just a deadness? A nothingness?
No, it's I don't know what to make of life anymore, but people tweeted me and they're like, hey, Barack Obama mentioned your show. And I was like, there you go. And I went
just
right
like,
back to complaining.
Like when you're a clue on Jeopardy.
Yeah, well, they didn't get it. So that was a slap in the face. By the way, Cousin Sal was there with James Baby Doll Dixon. Mm-hmm. My agent, James Baby Doll Dixon, probably represented four or five people who have done this job, not President of the United States. and so he goes to every one of them. And because Cousin Sal's Cousin Sal, and he has to fuck with Dixon all the time. That's all he does is fuck with Dixon. Like when Dixon comes to town, Dixon always pays for the dinner when we go to the fancy steak place. And at some point, Dixon says he's going to go out and smoke a cigarette. He walks out, and then Cousin Sal orders like 9 filet mignons to go and put it on his thing, and he'll give away 4 to the tables around him. And just Sal has to fuck with Baby Doll Dixon. And he literally went to – he was taking his picture with, I guess, Obama. Mike, you tell me the story if I'm screwing it up. I was talking to Daniel about it yesterday. I just emailed him, told him I was watching it, and he was killing it. I was loving it. It was weird. I was like, I was nervous for him, and it was funny, and I was like, I was really impressed by it. And it was just amazing. But he was telling me that Cousin Sal's basically fucking with Dixon. And do we have something?
Yeah, when they were in line for their photographs, Sal and Dixon were together, and Sal leans over to Obama and says, you know, I voted for you. Baby Doll over here didn't, but
and then Baby Doll had to overcompensate.
And Michelle, well, you'll have a chance, you know, this year, you know, to Baby Doll.
And I, yeah.
And before Baby Doll had a chance to explain himself. So, come on, pull them off.
We have, I think, and we will have some footage of that at some point. I think Daniel has it, by the way, Mike. I told him to send it to me, but I haven't got it yet. So we'll track that down. You know what? Looks like James Baby Doll Dixon could use some representation in the legal department, like LegalZoom.
Oh.
All right, sorry.
And also, Jimmy Kimmel made a joke at Keith Olbermann's expense, and then Olbermann tweeted something back, and we have that joke.
Oh,
we have the clip.
That. A couple jokes I'm just remembering, and we'll pull up those clips.
And if we don't have it, I can tell you what it was.
I like the one, I don't know why, just because it was true. Like he was talking about Rush Limbaugh. And Bill Maher, and he basically said, you know, the difference between the fans is Bill Maher's fans know he's an asshole. Rush Limbaugh's done. Jokes are always good when they're true. Mm-hmm. Like, I do feel like Bill Maher fans know he's an asshole. We don't have Obermann?
Okay. Well, what happened was Kimmel said that if everyone looks under their seat, they'll find a resume from Keith Obermann.
Right. Well, what's the – is that that?
Well, so then he tweeted – funny that Jimmy Kimmel ripped me after his people desperately wanted me to fly to L.A. to be on his show this past Wednesday.
Desperately.
So desperate.
Here's the whole thing.
I don't think it's ripped either.
I think everyone can agree Keith Olbermann's an asshole, and then you support it then when you do these kinds of things.
And then he said, I'm fair game. I'm complaining about the revenge element. It reminds me of O'Reilly. Kimmel said, I didn't even know they asked him to be on the show. The way I look at it, he's a major political figure in broadcasting over the past year, and jokes had to be made about him. I guess he took it the wrong way. I'll call over or something and clear it up.
Oh, we just have to clear anything up. Like, Overman's a douche. And here's the thing. Here's how you know Keith Overman's a douche. I have no interaction with him. It's just everyone seems to agree he's a douche. Thus, he's a douche. It's the Jeremy Piven syndrome. You know, when everyone you've worked with goes, that guy's a douche, then we'll take your word for it. All right, do we have any clips from – no?
I think there was a series of marijuana jokes.
Yes, there were.
I think we might have those.
All right.
Two of those.
And – okay.
I do have one real question for you, Mr. President. What's with the marijuana crackdown? I mean, seriously, what is the concern? We will deplete the nation's Funyun supply? You know, pot smokers vote too, sometimes a week after the election, but they vote. Let's take a quick poll. I would like everyone in this room to raise your hand if you've never smoked pot. There you go. Look at Britt Hume. He's high right now. He's on his fourth almond macaroon. Mr. President, I hope you don't think I'm out of line here, but marijuana is something that real people care about, and the fact that you believe Speaker Boehner when he tells you he still has control of his party leads me to believe that you must be smoking some crazy great weed yourself.
Very uncomfortable smile from Barack Obama.
You look pretty comfortable, actually. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So here's the question. Oz, I loved it. It was fun. It was surreal. And it was funny for me because I was just sitting around and I'm watching Jimmy, and I'm getting the reason it was literally came on. We were playing the John Lovitz Theater that night, club that is, and it was like 7:35, 7:40, whatever the time was, and Jimmy was just kind of finishing his set, and we had a show at 8 o'clock at the John Lovitz Comedy Club.
Podcast theater.
And I thought, great, he's sitting next to Barack Obama, and I'm heading off to Lovitz's podcast theater to entertain 189 people. This is awesome. There's quite a contrast here, but it was. It was this thing where
it was sold out.
It was sold out. I was just sort of, it was like, it was the last thing I was going to see before. I felt like I needed some sort of loser palate cleanser,
yeah,
like Pauly Shore doing an infomercial or something. So I could have felt a little better, like, mm-hmm, here, I'm Pauly Shore for the Wonder Mop or something. I went, all right, now I'm feeling good about what I'm going out to do.
You should have Googled Ricky Rackman.
Oh, you're right. Should have done it. Should have done it immediately.
Everyone should have a loser palate cleanser on hand just for, mm-hmm, those kind of situations. We also, if you want to see the Mar joke, we have that one.
Oh, okay. We do? Yeah, I like that one.
Hey, is that slut Rush Limbaugh here? People are still upset with Rush for comments he made about Sandra Fluke. But you know what? There's a reason Mr. Limbaugh said what he said, and that reason is Percocet. And by the way, just to clear things up for the extreme right-wingers, here's the difference between Bill Maher and Rush Limbaugh. The people who watch Bill Maher know he's an
Wow, beeped out? It's funny, I was watching it on, like, I don't know, I don't think it was C-SPAN, it was just on, like, CNN, and they didn't beep out asshole. What do they do, beep it out on the internet or something?
Mike Lynch chose to beep it. It offended his sensibilities.
What an asshole.
I know.
Yeah. Come on, Lynch.
So a female dentist in Poland, which sounds like the beginning of a joke, is, mm-hmm, under investigation for allegedly pulling out all her ex-boyfriend's teeth. Mm. The now gummy fellow showed up because he had a toothache days after the two split. The dentist is quoted as saying, "I tried to be professional and detach myself from my emotions, but when I saw him lying there, I just thought, what a bastard." And decided to take all his teeth out. The guy woke up with his mouth bandaged and thought something was wrong because he couldn't feel his teeth. She told him he was just numb, but when he got home, he couldn't believe it. He says, "The bitch had emptied my mouth," in his native Polish, I'm assuming.
Wow.
And his new girlfriend apparently already left him because she can't be seen with someone who looks like that. So the dentist faces loss of her license and jail time.
Yeah. I would like it if she just got jail time. Like, you can still practice dentistry just
in the
joint. Yeah, like you may keep your license. But by the way, what are you going to do with your license when you're in the joint?
Pull out the teeth of your.
I'd ironically
inmates.
Let him keep. You have no tools or anything.
Right.
You know, you don't have a dentist chair. You have a cot.
I would think
you
women would like a toothless man. That must be amazing, cunnilingus with no teethy.
That's right.
Vagina eaten.
Yeah.
I feel like, see, I feel like the errant teeth are more of a problem when the woman is performing oral sex than the guy is. And I don't know
that
if I speak
true.
For all
that's
ladies.
That's a good perspective mm-hmm. you have there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, so that begs the question, are you guys looking for a toothless woman?
Well.
Because might I suggest my friend Marge.
I focus on the back door and have her tooth in there.
Wouldn't it be weird if there were one? That'd be so unfortunate.
That would be, and you were high.
And I might vomit.
And you were high on mushrooms?
Yes.
That would be fucking horrible.
I've never done mushrooms.
Oh, you haven't lived.
But quite possibly I have not.
Who said that? You're dead to me. Yeah, you have to do mushrooms. But I don't think you'd be good on mushrooms.
No, that's why I haven't. I'm better with the powdery drugs. Yeah. I don't do anything anymore, but...
Well, there's certain drugs that aren't good for certain personality types. And you'd get too...
Overly analytical?
Yeah,
I'm already on shrooms,
but
not on
certain
shrooms.
Drugs change personalities, too, like mm-hmm. shrooms and acid. Like,
what if it changed it in a worse way, though?
Oh, I think it's good. I think shrooms, you should go out in the middle of the woods with the people you trust... And do it once.
Yeah.
Can't
fucking
do either of those.
Kill you and devour your
you
corpse
go to
in the woods. Yeah.
Miller's Crossing.
There's
none
things
of them
about
German.
It that appeal to me, but then there's just so much fear. And it's like, I feel like the doors of my perception have been blown open before, and you know, nothing good can.
I will tell you what good will come of it if you get high on mushrooms. It's all in the new book, by the way, not Taco Bell material. Out available for pre-order on Amazon if you like. Go through the website. I do talk about taking mushrooms in that. And one of the things that you don't realize is in life, you have to tune out so much. You have to tune out maybe 95% of what's going on. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's too insane. There's too much to drink
right,
in.
Right, too now, much information.
And it's a combination of what's going on internationally. You know, it's like you hear those stories and it's like, oh, a woman was stoned to death because she asked a question. And it's like, oh, and it's this part of you that goes, oh, it's fucking horrible. But immediately you move on. You go, I'm thirsty, you know, and you move on to something else, you know, and then you hear about these stories, some of these, you know, horrible atrocities. You realize how much we need to block out mm-hmm. of our life, including almost every single thing you put in your mouth. Like, where the fuck did this come from? Where did this travel from? Who handled this? Who's back in the kitchen? Who's out in the field? Who's driving the truck? Like, your head would explode. And you realize, I must tune out. And we as Americans do a fantabulous job of tuning out. And we focus on stuff like, hey, them Dodgers looking good. Yeah. They're looking good. They're off to a hell of a start.
The polar bear died.
Right, right. Tragedy. Yeah. So we're going to focus on that.
Was a tragedy.
Yeah. Not the millions of bed mites that are running around in our fucking mattress right now and all this kind of shit that would freak you out. So you have to do that. It's sort of like when you drive your car and you've owned your car for a number of years. You don't think about like, ooh, where are the lights? Where's the signal? Where's the indicator?
Yeah.
Like, you just know your hands just start moving and your mind is a million miles away. I mean, you're just driving your car thinking about a million things. It's just all mechanical muscle memory. Well, your whole life emotionally can go into a muscle memory sequence as well. Like, you don't realize when you get up in the morning, I bet you brush your teeth the exact amount of strokes on the right side and the left side. You probably do the exact same thing, rinse your mouth, do whatever. You're out the door, door's locked, alarm on, down the driveway, away from the house, whatever it is. And you haven't even used your brain yet. And when you get high on mushrooms, it all gets taken away. Like, you must stop and look around. You must examine everything.
So, like, you enjoy every stroke of the toothbrush.
Not necessarily. But you do appreciate it. Like, you do go,
you're like,
okay,
this thing is well designed, these toothbrushes. I never really thought about that.
So
they
like
really do get in between
I
the
like
teeth.
That weird little unicorn horn at the end for picking at my gums. No, I mean, you get high on mushrooms and you sit there and you turn on the TV and you go, this thing got filmed somewhere in Burbank, bounced up off a satellite, which is orbiting our globe at 22,000 miles an hour, and then shot back down to my TV set. This image.
So you're not even enjoying the show. You're just enjoying how the show got there.
This image of Charlie Sheen has traveled 44,000 miles before it got to my eyeballs.
Like a spaceship.
And then are you like, is it the drugs that are making me think this way, or do I always think this way, but it's just the drugs that have made me open to this kind of thought? Because anytime I get super stoned, that's what I always got stuck in that loop of thinking, am I always aware of all this stuff and usually I block it out, or am I suddenly aware of it because I'm on drugs? I would like to share this thought with someone, but I can't talk.
Yeah.
That was always me stoned.
You have to be shut down to those kinds of thoughts. It's the way your mind would work if you weren't indoctrinated into this society. You know, you get whatever culture, whatever society you're in, whatever you look at other cultures and you go, oh, how could they do that? Mm-hmm. Well, they can do it because that's their culture. That's what they're in.
Maybe we need to give shrooms to them.
It wouldn't hurt.
You mean like when you go to Greece or something, you're like, why is everyone napping all day? You mean like that? Like, you're like, how does this country operate?
Well, I think we figured it out.
Oh, and they don't?
Yeah. Yeah. Just when you see them eating something you would never eat or acting a way you would never act, you're like, wow, what's up with this? Well, if you were born into the middle of that, then you'd be what's up with it, you know? So it pulls you out of your mindset and your society, and then you just become this person that's standing on the planet looking at everything with fresh eyeballs.
See, I feel like without drugs, I have many moments like that of sort of disorientation or things all of a sudden turning surreal.
Well, that's part of that is being smart and being analytical or coincidence. But but it's you thinking about things and you being slightly more evolved than the average guy that's just sitting in the bleacher screaming his head off for a bunch of multimillionaires from the Dominican Republic.
A bottle of
I'm talking about improvisation. Yes.
A bottle of the world's oldest beer has gone on sale on eBay, and as of writing this, it was $155,000. Oh,
wow.
Yeah, that's where it is, $155,000. Or if you want to just buy it now, I think it's like $85,000.
Hey, free shipping.
And it's – well, they say that, but then there's always hidden charges. It's a sealed bottle of Allsop's Arctic Ale from 1852.
Oh, the auction has ended, I'm told.
Oh, it's – okay, so then it sold for $155,000? Wow.
That's nice.
I wonder if the person's going to drink it or just look at it.
Yeah, does beer get better with age?
No, it goes skunky. Yeah.
So Arctic Ale was originally brewed for the rescue mission of famed British explorer Sir John Franklin. This same recipe was brewed again 5 years later, and this bottle is from that batch.
I miss that mindset where like somebody's like, look, somebody's got to get in there and rescue those people. Now let's get drunk. Yeah. Like, I mean, like,
and not just on any beer, but we need to make up a special batch.
We need a shitload of rum. So we can go discover some new shit.
And if you think about how long things took back then, if I were the person who needed rescuing, I'd be like, how about we just drink beer after?
Right. Yeah. We'll celebrate my rescue.
It's going to add 4 months to it.
With a cold one. And speaking of cold, I can't feel my feet. So let's get moving.
But hurry.
Yeah.
Show up in the next month.
Yeah. Wow. $155,000. I think I would... If I bought that beer, I would probably go on like the Tonight Show and shotgun it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just do something funky and weird with it. Right.
Like if you were the person who had that potato chip collection, you'd eat the one that looked like Mini Pearl.
I'd make a beer bong.
Or how about just put it in your fridge with other beers? You have guests over and one accidentally drinks and you just get really mad at him.
Right.
That cost me $155,000, you asshole.
Yeah. And would you even keep it in your house? Well, I mean, where else would you keep it? Safe deposit box? I just answered my own dumb question.
Deep,
but still,
deep
that's
inside Cheyenne Mountain. Yeah.
What's the most expensive thing you've ever consumed?
Wow. Well, this is, first off.
A toothless woman.
It's almost as expensive as Anchor Steam. So that's all I know. Because that was always the most expensive beer I've ever seen. Yeah. Like, I was, you ever go to like Father's office in Santa Monica and get like a pitcher of Anchor Steam? It's like $41.
It's a fucking great beer, by the way.
It's great, but I think...
But worth that much?
They're just expensive. Like, Anchor Steam always when I was poor, you'd have to make those decisions. Like, look, I got to get buzzed, but I'm on a budget here. And the guy who showed up with the Anchor Steam, that was always like, oh, fucking guy. Literally, ship came in. Like, look out. You know, pardon the pun, but ship came in. Like, that guy's doing great. He's got Anchor Steam. I'm drinking Lucky Lager or Milwaukee's Worst or whatever it is.
Lucky Lager, the one with the puzzle?
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, underneath, those are fun. Underneath the caps. Yeah.
I got bad news for you now. Sorry to interrupt. Anchor Steam is very mid-priced, especially for Father's Office. They have beers that are – we'll probably pull up a menu PDF, but they have beers like $30 for a 12-ounce, like 16-ounce bottle of beer.
All right.
I'm asking the wrong person. Brian, what's the most expensive thing you've consumed?
You ate that monkey brain once.
Yeah. It's good, too. Mm. Hella good.
And that was Matt Besser from UCB back in 2012.
Hilarious episode.
He's so funny. Hope to have him back in very soon. Before we get to the next clip, got to tell everybody about Sue the Collector. What is that, you ask? Well, let me tell you. Over 40 million people being unemployed. Tough times are hitting many. And that means bills are going to go unpaid. But does that mean debt collectors can mistreat you or be abusive in trying to collect these debts? I'll tell you. The answer is no. All right? In fact, a debt collector lies to you. They're verbally abusive, treat you unfairly. You don't have to put up with that or their bad behavior. All right? You can get free legal help. All you got to do is just go to suethecollector.com, S-U-E, thecollector.com, where skilled consumer law attorneys will take your case for free. And one, eliminate the debt that you owe. And two, pay you up to $1,000. Oh, and three, erase errors on your credit report that were caused through no fault of your own. So, get a free attorney, plus win up to $1,000, and get the debt erased forever. That's what the team at Sue the Collector can offer, and they never charge for their services. That's suethecollector.com, suethecollector.com. All right.
I grew up with a bill collector's calling and harassing my mom and witnessing it. And then as an adult, my number one goal is to not have to deal with them. So this might actually be a great service for people.
See? That's Gio's number one goal. Make it yours too. All right. This next clip, this is from 2012 as well. And it's Richard.
Yeah, this whole theme for today's episode is basically 2012.
Ooh,
so I've been compiling some stuff for an upcoming week of shows we may be doing that are kind of going to encapsulate some of the history of the Adam Carolla Show. And in doing so, I went back for today's Carolla Classics, and I was listening through clips. I'm like, these 2012 clips have a certain vibe. And I was just kind of like, I'm going to sit here with this and get another one. And this episode is 814, the very next episode after Matt Besser, with Richard Grieco from 21 Jump Street fame. He came in third season. I'm currently rewatching it as part of another podcast that's recapping it. And I was like, I want to get that interview with that guy. It was really good. And it's great. This is from May 2012 as well, the following day. Richard Grieco, Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop. Check it out.
Yeah, back in studio with Richard Grieco. TV show Gigolos. Season 1 available on Amazon. And by the way, you're going to go through Amazon? Go to AdamCarolla.com, click the Amazon banner, show us a little love. We'll wet our beak, and it's not going to cost you any extra time and or money. Good to see you, Richard.
Good to see you, too.
So let's go. I want to hear the whole Richard Grieco story. Where do you grow up? Where does it begin?
Where does it begin? I grew up in upstate New York, Watertown, New York. Which is 70 miles northeast of Syracuse.
And when does the acting begin?
I went to college on a football scholarship.
Mm-hmm. I was reading here you played inside linebacker and fullback.
Yeah, I was 230 back then.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
It's a lot of Grieco.
It was a lot of Grieco. You're right.
Wow. Now, what college did you go to?
Central Connecticut.
And you got a free ride to play ball there?
Play ball, yeah.
And what position did you end up playing?
I ended up playing linebacker. And then on short yardage situations, they put me in as fullback, just like a, you know, fourth and one or goal.
Sure,
line,
yeah.
Stuff like that.
That's good.
But linebacker's fun.
Oh, yeah. I played linebacker in high school and year of college. Yeah. No, it's the greatest because you get to stand there and look at what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And you get to just react.
React and really hit people pretty hard.
It's nice.
It's a 1,000-yard stare.
I was just thinking. I mean,
the thing that I always thought that I don't know, I had like withdrawals after I stopped playing football for years. Like I dreamt about it. That's all I wanted to do. I had these like I wanted to tunnel back into my high school and play one more year of football. But I had nothing else going on in my life. If I was doing 21 Jump Street, I wouldn't have been thinking about it quite as much. But the thing I realized I missed about football is when the ball snapped, you don't think about anything else. You just think about football. Like, you just look at the quarterback. You try to read stuff. You get into your hook zone. You're trying to see if they're throwing a screen or whatever it is, your angle of pursuit, whatever it is. Mm. But you don't think about anything else during that particular moment in time.
No, your main objective, because it's tunnel vision. So your main objective is either if the running back has the ball is knocking him to left field or if the quarterback has the ball getting him or making sure no one, busts your kneecaps and stuff like that. And
so you play what number are you in college?
I was in college 42 and in high school I was 33.
42, hell of a linebacking number.
Yeah. 42.
Not that there are any great ones that were 42.
No, you're right. There wasn't.
But it's a good college linebacking number.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Because once you get into the pros, you got to go up into the 50s pretty much.
Yeah, 55. And
the thing I always love about watching college is I like to see like a free safety with number one.
Yeah.
Or like an inside backer number nine, which probably meant he started off as a flanker, bulked up, and they put him on the inside. It's just something. Oh, yeah, Ronnie Lott. There you go. No one's heard of him.
Oh, 42.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of but there's no backers in the NFL in the 40s. But anyway, so you're playing linebacker in college, and
well, the funny thing was I was playing hockey too, and then I was playing for the Kingston Canadiens, a farm club for the Montreal Canadiens.
Mm-hmm.
So it was I could have went that route too, to go play pro hockey,
right?
But I ended up, then I played lacrosse too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which, that's a tough sport.
They don't, there's no lacrosse in Los Angeles or on the West Coast. It's a weird sport to us. It's sort of like hockey and football, and it's funky. We don't have that.
It's hockey,
it's
football, soccer with sticks and nets. And
but upstate New York, it's massive,
it's huge,
right?
Yeah, it's huge. The whole East Coast, from upstate New York, Pennsylvania, down to the Carolinas, stuff like that.
Do a lot of the football players play lacrosse when they're not playing football?
Yeah, because it keeps you in great shape.
And it's they've figured out the seasons, so they're sort of staggered? So
yeah, because you got football in the fall, lacrosse in the spring, and then and hockey was in the winter. So
so then you're playing hockey. So now at a certain point, you have to pick a sport, right?
Right.
And you pick?
Football.
Football.
Yeah.
And what happens?
I had my fourth knee operation my freshman year in college. And but back then it wasn't like today where they give you something and you're out for 4 months and stuff like that because you got a little ACL tear, not a full tear.
Mm-hmm.
With me, they used to just drain my knee, tape it up, and put me back out there, shoot me up a cortisone
sure.
Play. Today, if you get a pimple on your ass, you're out for 2 weeks.
That's right. You're puss.
Yeah.
So your knee's fucked up.
Yeah.
And any dreams of going into professional football?
Oh, when I was playing, yeah. Yeah, I thought. But then when I got to college, you realize that they're just as fast as I am. Especially the teams we played against. Remember we played against, I know it doesn't sound like a big school, but for us playing against Yale.
Mm-hmm.
They were a lot bigger than us,
right?
Faster, and we realized that what if we played against someone like Georgia or Nebraska or
Ohio
State, we'd get our butts kicked.
Yeah, no, I know. I had the same problem. I went to junior college and I couldn't handle it.
Yeah,
it's like too much. The guys were too big, too fast. Everyone's like. The athletes were too good.
Yeah.
In high school, you can get by because not everyone's a great athlete, and you can know the game a little better and be a little smarter. And then you get certain, you go up a level, and everyone's good. Everyone's a really good athlete.
Right.
And then you realize there's five levels still between here and where I need to be, and it's like, fuck it. So you start, but you take a look in the mirror, and you go, it'll do some acting. Is that what happens?
Well, it was kind of a funny thing. I Connecticut, they had this contest, some silly contest, best-looking guy in college or something, and then a model agency in New York said, do you want to come to New York and model?
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't getting along with my football coach at the time, because of some hazing thing I wouldn't do, which was something weird with a goat or something.
What'd they want you to do?
Seriously, it was something weird with a goat.
Really?
But your coach? Is it the weird thing we're thinking of with a goat?
Not that weird.
Is it?
But it could be weird. I mean, tell us
what they wanted with the goat, and then we.
What were you thinking about with the goat?
Well, we always go to the worst. We go to the worst goat place.
Yeah, we do.
Oh yeah.
Someone just had sex with a goat in their head, and it wasn't me.
Brian,
yeah,
guilty.
So did the coach want you? I thought the coach was supposed to not be involved with this.
No, the coaches weren't involved at all. But the I was a freshman, so, and plus I was moved up 2 grades, so I was a young freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted us to do some things with a goat that I wouldn't do.
Well, it can't be worse than what we're all picturing.
I think you can picture what they wanted you to do with a goat.
And you got moved up 2 grades?
I feel bad for the goat.
6th to 8th grade.
Why?
They did IQ testing back then.
But why? I don't. You know
how humble he is, because he was too smart for 6th grade.
I
and
get
seventh.
It. I
no,
get
but
it.
Maybe,
and too good looking for Connecticut.
That's right.
Maybe the sensibility of smart, and as far as like doing graphs and stuff like that. But in the reasoning of your emotional stability, as far as a 6th and 8th grader, you weren't ready for that.
Yeah.
So. Well, so now you're playing ball in college, and you're what, 17?
11. No, about 16, 17, yeah.
I'm saying that's a huge disadvantage, because there's this whole thing now where they hold the kids back.
Right.
Everyone's holding their kid back, and it was massive. I mean, 1 year is massive when you're playing sports at the high school level, because there's just a huge difference between being 15 and 16 and 16 and 17. I mean, there could be 40 pounds of muscle between being 16 or 17 or 18 years of age. Going to college and being 16 and a half or 17, it feels like a huge disadvantage.
Yeah. Well, one thing I did have going, I was big. I was like, when I went to college, a senior in high school was about 195. And I went both ways, linebacker and running back.
Right.
And then when I got to college, I was about 210. And then I put on 20 pounds when I got there. So
just
the
eating,
freshman 20.
Eating, lifting weights, all
just
that stuff.
Eating, lifting, and but back then, I mean, we used to order this stuff from Weider, this. Weider magazine, Muscle and Fitness. But I don't think you can do monkey hormones today.
Yeah, it's like a crazy powder.
No, they were palatable. You could do it in a test tube and just put it under your tongue. But you got it in a little thing. And my parents would go, "What did you get this time?" I go, "I don't know. It tastes awful, but it's supposed to do something."
So you wouldn't have sex with a goat, so they kicked you off the team.
No. They made me. What happened was, after practice one day, I forget his name. He was a captain of the defense. Real asshole. They all stood. The whole team stood and watched me run hills.
Right.
And just, and I was just swearing at him. And then finally got to the point. I said, I'll take you all on up there. And then that was the dumbest thing I could have done, because basically 9 of them went up there and beat on me pretty good.
So there's a lot of people don't realize. I've said this many times. People think that jocks beat up nerds, but jocks beat up fellow jocks. That's every movie is about the jock walking down the hall, seeing the nerd and going, "Hey, nerd, what are you doing on my turf?"
Right,
and
then giving their finger in his meatloaf,
giving him a wedgie, and then throwing him in his locker. But the reality is all my jock buddies were too busy beating each other up, they didn't know who the nerds were.
I brought that up the other day. I said I never saw one of us beat up a nerd or do any of those things that are flip the hats or anything. We beat the shit out of each other.
Right. The jocks did the ultimate attack on nerds, which is they didn't know who they were. That's the ultimate slight. That's the ultimate slap in the face. And the nerds
were too nerdy to even be beaten up.
That's why it's always weird, because they go like, I was a nerd in high school and I got beat up by the jocks every day. And I'm like, first off, every day? You're, and by the jocks are 230 pounds.
Maybe decoy jocks.
No.
Fake jocks who are beating up nerds, because jock-like people do beat up nerds, according to movies.
Let me tell you something.
They're just not the real jocks.
I'll tell you what happens.
According to movies?
I'll tell you what happens.
It's my reality.
Chicks do the, I was fat and nobody wanted to date me, and they didn't think I was good looking and I wasn't the popular girl and the popular girls. So they have a version of that, and then nerds have their own version of it. But the truth is, if my buddy Ray, first off, he would be making them into paraplegics. Like, if my buddy Ray was beating up on nerds, he'd be killing them.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be breaking their necks.
I have a nerdy friend who was on the tennis team, and some dick on the team, who I think was a jock, but maybe not, pissed in his locker.
Well, that's funny, number one. And we did that.
Yeah.
That's... But we did it to each other. And number two, he wouldn't be a jock if he was on the tennis team. He'd be a nerd. Can't be a jock be on the tennis team.
That's what I'm saying. What we nerds think were jocks weren't jocks. They were just more muscular.
Jocks beat the shit out of everyone else who's on their team with them.
Yeah.
That, am I right, Richard?
Yeah.
So you're fighting other jocks. It's jock on jock crime.
Yep. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Awful.
You do have a point there.
Goat, apparently.
So you go, fuck this. I'm getting off a goat hill with the jocks, and I'm going to go model in New York.
Yeah, which lasted all of 4 months. I did that for 4 months. Didn't really like it, and then just got into theater. Started studying theater.
And when did, is 21 Jump Street the first big break, or what is the first big break?
Well, I was in New York for about 3 years, doing theater and studying, and bartended the Palladium when it first opened up. That was a movie in itself. Went out to L.A. just to visit my agents out here, booked a gig. A day I got off the plane, which was a Rags to Riches, and then...
Oh, my God. The musical TV show?
Yeah.
I love that show.
Yeah.
Wait, who did you play on it?
I played this tough kid who didn't have a place, and Joseph Bologna's character brought him in, and he was working on his car, and next thing I know, I forget... What girl fell in love with me, and then we end up singing What Becomes of the Broken
Heart. Sane one.
The sane one.
I mean, let's be honest. 25-year-old Richard Grieco comes into town. You fall in love. You got a couple brain cells to rub together.
Well, that's exciting.
And then when does Jump Street come around?
Well, then you had that. Then you had Bronx Zoo. Then I did Who's the Boss with Tony Danza. I played his Italian cousin from Italy.
Perfect.
Who wanted to marry Angela.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that an arc? Was there a couple of those episodes?
Well, no, there was just one. And then I got a pilot off it with Mindy Cohen, David Spade, called Big Apple Blues, which never went. And then the writer's strike happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Oh, sorry.
2 months later, Jump Street was...
Facts of Life. That was a Facts of Life spinoff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Dying
you would
know
over
that. Here. In fact, so my favorite show.
And a Jump Street. Now, let's see. Like Johnny Depp, what kind of guy was he back then? Did you see it? Did you really like, oh man, this guy's destined for greatness? Could you tell?
We were just in doing the show. I mean, I came on the third season. So we just had fun doing the show and goofing around back then, it was all new for all of us, you know.
He seems a little affected now, Johnny Depp does. Like, Europe got to him. You know what I mean? Little Madonna thing going on. Like,
he spends a lot of time in Europe.
You spend too much time in Europe, and then you come over here, and you grace us with your presence. Like, do you know what I'm talking about? I don't want to be a douchebag, but I mean that thing where you move to Paris and then you come back and
the
you
expat
sort of
thing.
Yeah, you sort of look at the little people that stayed behind. Right. And it's always like a little something going on with him. He's got the kerchief going. He's got the scarf. It's the hat. He's calculated. His voice is starting to change. It's not quite doing the Madonna thing, but it's like I just heard him in some interview, and there's a little something going on. But back then, that was just old. un-European Johnny Depp. He wasn't on the metric system back then.
No, he was definitely not on the metric system.
Did you guys go out and party, hang out?
Yeah, we all hung out together back then. Yeah, we all hung out and had a good time and had a lot of good times up there. But I was brought on the show as the antagonist. So when Fox did this whole thing with the Greco Depp thing back then, it was Greco versus Depp, Depp versus Greco,
Sure.
You know, and so during that whole first season, that whole cast did not know what I was doing there. Like, why is this guy here right now?
You right.
know? So, and then it was supposed to be one episode, then it took off and then ended up being for the whole year. And
Did you see the movie? I haven't seen the new 21 Jump Street movie, by the way.
I saw it.
Did you like it? Was it most people don't like versions of whatever they were in that this gets, you know,
Well, I guess what they did was make it a flat out comedy, which I guess was pretty smart, but in the sense of what we did as far as tackling issues, it has nothing to do with Jump Street per se as far as that level. But they Jonah and Chatham did a great job. The writers did a great job. It's super bad meets Jump Street meets, you know, just a roller coaster ride and a funny movie. So
yes, Paul Ryan.
I saw the film. I have a question. Did they approach you at all for any kind of cameo or anything in the film?
That's a weird conundrum.
Meaning, no. Why didn't they?
Aren't they supposed to do that?
I thought his absence was conspicuous. Yeah.
Well, here's supposedly the second one. They're gonna
doing a second one.
Yeah, but the first one, I don't know if the Booker character would have been advantageous for that film since he was, you know, an antagonist, and I don't know how they would have lended itself into that film.
They're doing a sequel.
Yeah, they're doing a
good.
Sequel.
All right, Allison Rosen, you have some news?
Yeah, but all I've been thinking about since I've heard Big City Blues is the fact that he was in the show that almost spun off from Facts of Life. You played an artist, right?
Yeah, I played a artist, actor, artist. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and David Spade played a sleazy doctor who offered free breast exams.
Really?
You saw it?
Yes,
he was not acting. He walked on.
She was
set.
Fat in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that? You saw that show?
Yes, and the key was on the bum's head.
Oh my God!
Ask me anything. Yeah, it's when Natalie went off to the big city because she felt like as a reporter she really couldn't do what she wanted to do in Peekskill, but then she ended up moving back.
How many times have you watched this?
Just, I don't know, the normal amount, 8 or 9,
whatever.
Probably like twice or thrice or something. Very good.
Well, I hate to tell you, but that's not very exciting.
No. News. And the now news. I'm imagining the news theme song is going to sound extra weird to him.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison. Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with Zip It Cut. It's Allison. Allison.
Our friend DAG, David Alan Greer, received some good news today because Porgy and Bess was nominated for 10 Tonys.
Yeah.
And he himself was nominated for Best Performance by a Featured Actor in a Musical for Porgy and Bess.
Super talented guy.
Mm-hmm. And here's part of what he said about it. I've been screaming and hollering. I feel like I blew my voice out already.
I saw him in Race a couple of years ago over there on Broadway, and he was nominated for that, too. He didn't win, but he was nominated for that as well.
He said, it just feels to me and from the people I talked to who worked on the production like validation. From the very beginning, this show had so much controversy, article after article. If we even had a right to do what we were doing, should it be on Broadway? How dare they?
Oh, really? I didn't know it was so controversial.
Yeah. It was crazy. I didn't even know if we'd make it to Broadway.
I want to hear some more DAG drops. All right. I just love me some DAG. He's such a talented guy.
Leave it to death roll!
People.
Leave it to death roll!
I had my favorite thing to do with DAG is I think I got the active ingredients and hormones and birth control, and I told DAG, I know it sounds weird, not as weird as your goat story, by the way. You're doing a lot of judging for a guy with a goat story.
You're absolutely correct.
So I have DAG, I have him as old black grandmama go out to the porch and yell for his black children that are named after the hormones that are in the birth control pill.
Estradiol! Estradiol!
Whatever you got, Brian. Just
leave it a Dutch roll. Leave it a Dutch roll. Oh, my God.
That's what it sounds like to make love today. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Adam. It's good to be here.
This is Nipsey Russell.
I'd like to take you out for an imported beer.
I always thought that was Maya Angelou.
I did too, but I was corrected by several listeners.
It was Nipsey Russell. It's Nipsey. Well, great. Let's hope he wins it this time.
Jessica Simpson gave birth to a baby girl after being pregnant for what seems like 18 months.
Oh, my God.
The baby is named Maxwell Drew Johnson, and she weighed 9 pounds, 13 ounces, and measured 21 and 3 quarters inches
long.
When
did shitting out kids become so fucking noble? Like, isn't that the one thing we can all agree on as human beings as we procreate? Like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. All right, you're a chick, and you're a certain age, and you're pregnant. God bless you. Moving on, like
it does
what?
Seem like the
how about
should be the most natural thing in the world, and yet I also think there's a whole industry that makes you feel like if you don't do it right, the baby's not going
to
come out.
But how much talk do we need to have about somebody and their newborn kid? Like mm-hmm. considering we're all here because our moms got pregnant at some point, and Jessica Simpson's here because her mom got pregnant.
Presumably,
it's weird that we treat it as such a crazy anomaly. Like Jessica, there's a 28-year-old woman who's pregnant. It's like, yeah, that's how it works.
But wasn't she pregnant for like a long time?
It seemed like she was pregnant forever, but she was, I guess, just over her due date for a week. So
I thought she was pregnant for like 14 months.
It feels like it. It feels like. I mean, when I saw her, I did the Tonight Show with her like, I don't know, what was it, 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, and she was ready to pop. Like she was... I don't know when I did it, man. 2 months ago, whenever, 7 weeks ago.
I was surprised that and apparently the magazine cover, she was only in her, I think, second trimester at that point.
Yeah, she, if you see this picture, and I don't know when I did it, 6, 7 weeks ago, something like that, she is fucking massive then. And yeah, the magazine cover was from before she was pregnant.
My God.
She's just been drinking too much beer.
It looks like Photoshop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad and I feel like leopard print is the wrong look for her right there. That was March 15th.
All right. So what are we talking about?
Six weeks ago.
All right. All right. So she got the kid out. What's the kid's name?
Maxwell. It's a girl.
And does she have – she's not one of those nine name
Maxwell,
things?
Well, at this point, it's just Maxwell Drew Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And you know what we can look forward to now? A fucking book. We're going to get a book. Although she's not going to write a book. But we're still going to get a book from her.
Mm-hmm.
Being a mommy, book. Yeah. What's it like? What to expect? Boy. All right. And then a line of something.
Yeah, a line of baby somethings.
Wipes and diaper genies and all sorts of shit. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Right. All right. All right. We wish her well.
Here's what I want to know, though. You know the term baby bump?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that came out of nowhere and then was everywhere within the last, I don't know, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard it before that. Is it just that all of a sudden I became aware of it and then it was everywhere? Or did someone invent that and make us all say it?
The baby bump?
Baby bump did not exist. In my mind, like 6 years ago, there was no baby bump. Mm-hmm. And now it's nothing but a baby bump. And
I think it's the clothes they wear now, because it's like really cool to show your little...
And also, we weren't supposed to be talking about it in the past.
Right.
And there was also a weird superstitious kind of thing, like, don't talk about it until we actually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, let's wait for the, let's not count the chickens before the eggs hatch. And now it's just everyone with their baby bump. And then there's that weird thing where they have to speculate, is that a baby bump? Isn't it a baby bump?
Right, or is she just fat?
Yeah. Yeah.
A man is suing BMW, claiming that the seat on his BMW motorcycle gave him an erection lasting nearly 2 years. According to the suit,
I could see a Ducati doing that for you, but the BMW, that's a touring bike.
Yeah.
It's not that exciting.
According to the suit, the rigid seat on his 1993 motorcycle left him with mental and emotional anguish after allegedly causing an extreme case of priapism, also known as a long-lasting erection.
Yeah.
Henry Wolf, that's the... erect man.
Fucking wife should be suing BMW, not him.
Has been experiencing continuing problems since his motorcycle ride, according to his attorney, and he is now unable to engage in sexual activity.
Really?
Does that seem counterintuitive to anyone?
I feel like you couldn't engage, you couldn't go back to your accounting firm.
Right, yeah. Sex is the one place this might be acceptable, if not appreciated.
Yeah, this is the one thing you can do with your boner, right?
Right.
Yeah, I guess
he should really make lemonade.
I guess it's
and
that'll
probably
painful.
Be difficult as well.
Yeah. Right
to bend weird, mm-hmm. weirdly. Mm-hmm. And so this alleged case of priapism began after he took a 4-hour ride on his motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, priapism, which I'm possibly pronouncing wrong.
No, that's right.
Okay,
right.
It's named after the Greek fertility god Priapus or Priapus, who was commonly depicted as having an unusually large erection. Mm-hmm. I've never seen this god depicted. And I don't need to right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's tough, especially in stained glass. Yeah, I don't... oh, someone's calling.
Hello?
Hey, it's Priapus.
Oh, hey, Pri.
I'm up on Mount Olympus right now. What are you doing this weekend?
Wow.
Nothing?
Wow.
Well, I mean, I might have to move a couple things around.
We're looking at a pretty big picture of an uncut wang.
I have to move one thing around.
Wow.
Jesus Christ. It's a lot of pre-pews there.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God.
He needs scaffolding for
that. It looks like a ram's horn / doorknob.
It's like a mallet.
Yeah. And what do they
do?
Like
hang a coat on.
Do you think the Greeks all sat around like Stan Lee and went, we need the one, let's see, we need the one guy who's got the wings on his feet. And there's
we'll
another guy.
Hermes, all right.
Another guy flies too close to the sun.
Ooh, Icarus.
He
I
gets
love that.
Cocky.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets cocky. Oh, we need a strong dude. Like a Zeus, Hercules.
Like a Herculean
yeah.
type? I'll work
oh,
on
strong
that.
Guy.
On that.
Strong yeah. guy, but his hair. Something with his hair. Oh. That's his strength that comes from his hair.
Samson.
Oh, we need a guy with a huge cock. Yeah. What do we call him?
Stan, you want to take this one?
Let's call him Nardman or Cockboy or something. We call him Shafthead or... That's a good name for that guy. Huh? What do you got? Priapism?
I don't really know a lot about the subject. I don't know why you're asking
Let's call him King Dong.
Or Panias.
Panias.
I think all your suggestions are fantastic.
Panias. Or Wangus.
Wangus. Yeah. How about that? What else do we got?
We got Dingus.
Oh, we need a flying turtle to do battle with a moth. I know. Wait a minute.
I feel like you're ahead of your time.
Yeah. A dragon that shoots. Oh, shit. All right. Yeah. No.
Something that
yeah,
transforms.
That's Godzilla. That's fucked up. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm.
That was Gamera.
Gamera.
Yeah, remember Gamera, the flying turtle?
No. The Mothra. The whole
Mothra.
Godzilla. Like, those guys shot their wad with Godzilla. Because Godzilla was creative and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came up with Mothra. And it's like, what's this one? Huge moth.
Well, the thing
that
is.
That's what?
But it was huge larva.
Yeah. It's like a giant moth. But it's like, does moth instill fear into the hearts of anybody?
Only sweaters.
He irritated Godzilla.
That was Battle from the Earth. Battle for Earth.
Has anyone ever have a story involving fear in a moth? Like, hey, man, we were camping. Fucking.
Then what?
Fucking moth. The ranger told us this was moth country, and we didn't listen. Like, is there anything about, I brought a .44 in case we ran into a huge moth.
They told
moth.
Us to get rid of all our
like
bright lights.
Moth, and then the turtle, the only thing less scary than a moth is a fucking turtle. What were they thinking? You know what I mean? I mean, do a tarantula and a dragonfly right. or something. I mean, a scorpion, you can't miss with a scorpion. No. Turtle. Oh, yeah? Well, what's this one? It spins around and shoots sparklers out of its ass. Like, really? I don't find that scary at all. I find that more interesting than anything else. Like, we're going to kill that thing and make a huge ashtray. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to make an above-ground pool out of its shell. It's going to be great.
Speaking of turtles, a man who tried to sneak 55 live turtles and tortoises packed,
really?
Packed in snack food boxes
really?
Into the U.S.
I just did 10 minutes on turtles, and your next story was a turtle story?
Well, I had to shuffle the papers and bring it up.
But you had a turtle story.
Would I make this up?
No, you couldn't.
I couldn't.
Impossible.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm.
How weird is that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's going to federal prison.
Mm.
Atsushi Yamagami was sentenced to 21 months in jail and ordered to pay a fine of $18,403. It's a very specific number.
For
Yamagami is is described as a major wildlife trafficker, and many of the live reptiles he attempted to smuggle into America were species protected by the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species. Additionally, putting the turtles and tortoises in snack food boxes constituted animal cruelty, according to federal prosecutors.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what they prefer traveling
let
in.
Let me just say this. Once you get outside of human beings, like, shouldn't it all just be fair game in terms of consumption? I mean, if you're not an endangered species and you don't carry hepatitis C, I think turtles carry shit. But I mean, like, once you get, you know, like, all right, you can't eat bald eagles. There's not enough bald eagles. Right. We need bald eagles. And we can't eat each other. But really, what's the difference between a fucking moose and a cow?
Right.
And what's the difference between a turtle and a sea urchin? You know what I mean? Like, all right, it's one more thing that was walking around that's going to be in our belly.
I don't know if they were being smuggled to eventually be food.
Pets?
Oh, they're making turtle pets out of them?
I think. I don't know. I don't know ultimately what he planned to do with all these turtles.
The good news is they almost can never get away. Like, if the turtle takes off, like, hey, that turtle's making a break for it. Really?
There's time for backup.
How can you tell? I am going to slowly walk up and to the back of the turtle and pick it up. Like, no turtle ever makes a break for it.
Mm-hmm. Here's my favorite part, though. The smuggler was busted as part of something nicknamed Operation Flying Turtle. An undercover sting run by agents with the Fish and Wildlife Service who infiltrated a smuggling ring. Operation Flying Turtle.
By the way, that's
the code name.
Well, that's the flying turtle that he was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Is that Gamera?
Gamera.
Yeah. And by the way, the name for Mothra is even the laziest name in the world. What should we call this super horrible villain that flies through the sky with no real discernible powers? Well, it's a moth.
Moth thing?
Nah.
That's creative?
How about just Mothra? All right.
If you want to go with that, I guess.
Moving on. Operation Flying Turtle feels like a gay move to me. You know what I mean?
Like, it does.
That's what happens when the guy pulls his sack over his cock and then gets a running start at your asshole.
A slow or a fast one, though?
And uses one of those springboards they use to hit the pommel horse in the gymnastics. That's called Operation Flying Turtle. Have you ever had the flying turtle?
You don't want the snapping turtle. You don't want that.
Loosen up. I'll tell you what. You take a nice warm bath before and after. You know what gives you the flying turtle? That's advanced gay shit. You don't try that your first time out.
That's not beginner gay.
Yeah. And this better not be your first gay rodeo. Yeah, the flying turtle. It is a gay move. All right, so we busted. Oh, so he wasn't eating them. He was petting them?
I imagine, yeah, they're for pets more than for food.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you have any, you know how there are people that eat
endangered
species?
Is it an Asian dude?
Yeah.
Why does all weird animal stuff, why does every arrow point to Asia somewhere? Is there something about?
Or Richard Grieco.
Or, well, that's a goat. That's healthy. Goat. I mean, that's a healthy expression of love.
Okay.
Between one player and another.
Right.
No, I'm just saying all the weird rhino horns and all the bear pancreas.
Yeah, there was the sushi restaurant here in Santa Monica. Got shut down for trying to serve whale. Well, it did serve whale meat.
What is that? What's going on with that culture where everything is a fucking weird? If somebody just said weird animals, smuggling, eating, whatever.
Yeah,
doing,
I would think
monkey
Japanese
brains.
Businessman.
Monkey brains. Yeah, like why does every arrow point toward Japan or somewhere in that region? Why? What is it? It's fucked up. I mean, there's other people that like fucked up food. The Jews like a fucked up food. I mean, they like Jell-O fish. You know what I mean?
I don't know, but every time I turn into like you know bizarre foods with Andrew Zimmern, he's in Asia somewhere eating something off the street.
Yeah,
bizarre.
I think there's something to do. I think there's an inadequacy. I think there's a half the stuff that's going to make your cock bigger. By the way, couldn't we work that out? You know, it's all aphrodisiac and cock driven.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't we work what out?
Well, I feel like they're people
of
science. They just
need motorcycles.
They're people who are good at math, are they not?
Yeah.
You know, they're not a primitive culture.
Right. So like, why are they hanging on ridiculous, like, eat this cuttlefish or whatever?
Yeah, like some guys. Yeah, right. So somebody says, I need you to eat this cuttlefish. It's going to make your cock girthier. And it's like, yeah, my dad ate it and it didn't make his cock any bigger. I measured. So moving on.
Then again, maybe they are not going to admit that their cock is still wee.
Mm-hmm.
Wee. Petite.
I like that. Well, slight. The water displacement test doesn't lie, sweetie. It's how I measure a cock. That's the full volume of a cock. You know what I mean? It's not just length and girth. There's a lot of factors. But if you do the water displacement test.
Do you know the formula for volume of a cock?
Well, you take a graduated beaker.
Mm.
You fill it with hopefully mountain spring water. That's what I prefer.
Right.
And then you put your dong in it, you know. when it's too messin', and then you see how much water is removed from the beaker.
So essentially you're teabagging the graduated beaker.
It's the flying flying turtle of science. All right, let's bring it home.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen, Tidbit Cunt.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
Yeah. Greco, do you have a computer?
Yeah.
You use a computer, you got a home computer?
Mm-hmm.
Office, perhaps? Work computer?
Yes.
iPhone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tablet. Travel. Yeah. I'm guessing you travel a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you're traveling, you're like at the airport, and you're like, I wish I could get to my computer.
Yeah.
I want my home computer.
Mm-hmm.
I always have pictures, not of my kids, but of my cars.
Yeah.
I want to show people. They're on my home computer, but I don't have them on my iPhone. Yep. Go to my PC. Richard. What do we? What's next for you? What do we? What can we see in? What can we? What can we look forward at? TV, movies. You do any writing? You know, you do some producing and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm executive producer and creator of Gigolos,
right?
On Showtime.
So yeah,
we're in our going into our third season this week or next week.
Mm-hmm. Do you, I'm reading here that you feel like you got screwed over by those guys. Is that true?
Well, I guess in the sensibility of, you know, contracts and stuff like that, you always be leery of the word may.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing it's May 1st.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but we're still working on it and stuff like that. We're trying to make it work.
And again, you want to get season one DVDs, you get it on Amazon and you know where to go. Richard, thank you very much for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank
you. Gigolos. Showtime, we don't have, coming back to Showtime, but we don't, do we have times, dates, any of that stuff? Or we can just look forward to it?
Look forward to it.
All right.
Yeah.
And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Richard Greco, Allison Rosen, and Bald Brian saying... Mahalo.
I don't think you can do monkey hormones today.
And that was Richard Greco.
Reminded me very much of the Patrick Muldoon episode that also features a 90s heartthrob that people really like.
I'll be honest, even if it seems that their time may have passed, they still look good. You can tell.
Adam still asks to smell their dick.
That... I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Sometimes he does it on air.
Well, if they do that, I hope they're wearing Tommy John, Gio, because that cool cotton underwear, it's the secret to
keep
staying
sweat-free
this summer, you know?
Indeed.
Yeah.
Cool cotton. And the second skin is also quite cool in the summer. The cool cotton is what you want, but if you got to go the second skin because you got to do some working out, I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Whatever material you want, Tommy John is ultra-breathable, summer-ready. Underwear and bras.
And loungewear.
And loungewear, too. Lazy day joggers, whatever you want. They even have tees and polos, too. So, upgrade.
I might have to look into that, man. I'm fully Tommy John.
Let's get head to toe in Tommy John. Upgrade to Tommy John today with enhanced super breathable designs. And for a limited time, if you go to TommyJohn.com/classics, you'll get 20% off site-wide. That's TommyJohn.com/classics for 20% off site-wide. TommyJohn.com/classics. See site for details. All right. You have another clip. We're still in 2012. I like it here. You're right. It's a good vibe. And let's hang out again, this time with Arsenio Hall.
This one's actually Ray Romano.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Let's hang out there again, this time with Ray Romano.
and Tom Caltabiano, and they talk about some mind bets. You remember this one?
I do. We played this clip before, but it's a classic. It truly is.
It's one of my favorites. It's a really bizarre one. Check it out.
Good day, Teresa Strasser.
Good day, Adam Carolla.
Good day, Allison Rosen.
Well, hello. Changing it up just a tiny bit.
You sounded like you're a character from the 40s, possibly the 30s. Oh, there was actually a little...
That's what I'm going for.
What was Mr. Drysdale's... Mr. Drysdale's...
Well, hello!
Yeah, it was like we're doing one of those morning radio shows from the 30s, where it was like tea with Adam and Allison.
I would love to do that. But you know who would be sad? Jill Zarin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What was our show called?
Hot Cup of Jill with Ace Over Easy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she never knew what we were doing. Yeah.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, that was our show. All right. Yeah, she had no idea. Her pitch to me, Teresa Strasser, when I went... I went and did Andy Cohen's show. Ugh. The gays and my wife were so insane with this Andy Cohen business.
He's gay!
You know? And
he's a hero because, Adam, they said he'd never be on TV. He has walleye.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And I went into his... Anyway, it was a big deal. So I went in there with Jill Zarin, and then when we were done... She did that thing that all crazed narcissists do where they go, you're really funny. You know, by the way, I'm 47 years old.
Thank
I've been
you.
Doing comedy yeah. for 20 years. You're funny. And then you go, thanks. It was nice. Yeah, you're good, too. It's good. Hey, seriously, you're funny. Like, you don't realize I'm telling you you're funny. Right. This is not
somebody. Just anyone assessing your comedic ability.
Drink it in.
Right, right. It's a super narcissistic move that they don't realize is narcissistic because they think it's magnanimous because they grab your arm for the second one. They go, you don't understand. I have come down from the mountain with these tablets that say you're funny on it. And it's like, oh, you think I'm funny.
Yeah, well, what is the response supposed to be?
Let me get my fucking agent manager on the phone. This is completely
because
different
were thinking you were more of like a Laurence Olivier and kind of pitching you that way.
It's so
a dramatic
weird.
Guy.
Like, okay, you had no idea what I did before this, but now you have an idea of what I do. Thank you for the compliment. Now I'm going to go have another drink and we'll move on. And it's like, no, you don't get it. I think something of you is really what it is.
A decree
right.
about you.
Yes. So I was like, thanks a lot. And then at some point she said, we need to do a show together, you and me. And I said, yeah, what kind of show? And she said, the reason we're so good together, we're so good. Well, by the way, it'd be like saying Jerry Seinfeld was really good with that stool that he was resting his water on when he did that 90-minute set. Like, yeah, or he could have just put the thing on the ground. It wouldn't matter. That was all Seinfeld. But she was like, you're funny, and I don't get comedy. And you can ask, what's her husband's name? Because it's great.
Bobby.
Ask Bobby.
Where's Bobby?
Ask Bobby.
It's a hit!
By the way, if you say you don't get comedy or your pussy stinks, I don't have to go clear it with your husband.
Right.
I'll take your word for it. You know what I mean? If you said... that you were this close to the Olympics women's softball team in 1984, then I'll ask Bobby. But if you say something that's wildly uncomplimentary,
right.
I don't need to check it. Like if some guy says, I'm a registered sex offender, you want to talk to my parole officer? I'll be like, no, yeah. I got you. I heard you. I wouldn't go, get the fuck out of here.
Right.
No you? Way.
What,
yeah.
like kids or grown-ups? Because you don't look that rapey.
I want to talk to a guy who wears his badge on his belt. And get some confirmation. That's a weird thing.
You're a pathologically self-deprecating liar.
There's badge on the chest. There's badge in the wallet. And then there's badge on the belt guy.
Yeah, what is
I'm
that?
I'm curious who that... That's I'm in law enforcement, but maybe not for the long haul.
Yeah.
Or I...
Dabbling.
You know, I like it. I don't love it. Or something. I don't know
what... Are you going to define me?
I don't know what it is, but there's in the... There's on the chest. There's in the wallet. Then there's on the thing. So she was explaining to me that we'd make a hell of a team because... I'm funny, and she doesn't get humor. And it'd really be like, we'd make a hell of a crew team because you got a huge back and I have no arms. Basically what she was pitching me. So she's excited.
Yeah, it's like she was telling you why in her head it seems like a good idea for her. That's how narcissistic that
yes.
compliment is.
Yes.
All right. Let's see. So Ray Romano and company coming in here. Just watched their documentary. I'll tell you all about that when they show up. Teresa Strasser has got a little, I don't know, what'd you bring with you?
Parents of the Week.
Exploiting My Baby, name of the book, available on Amazon. And you know what to do with Amazon, baby. You go to adamkroll.com and you click on the Amazon banner and you put a little air in the pirate ship sails. All right. Shall you get started with a little of that?
Let's.
ExploitingMyBaby.com, by the way.
Teresa Strasser presents Parents of the Week.
You're the best mom in the whole world.
It's a great week for awful parenting. A lot of talk about the boob on the cover of Time magazine, but there are many, many other boobs.
Mm.
Clint Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to talk about the boob?
Well, no, I'm just kind of thinking about the boob and then the gay halo on Barack Obama and all
right.
that kind of stuff. And I've realized, I've always said this, I think we're out of problems.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do is kind of like, it's like you're just sitting alone. We're sitting alone in our jail cell and we don't have much that can move our meter anymore. Like we've seen it all. You can go on the internet and see color. You know, high def footage of just about anything you want to see. It takes us a lot. So I feel like we're just sitting in a cell, just putting cigarettes out on our inner thigh.
Just to feel something.
Yeah. Like, it's like a found room of money, though, for Time, though, because it's like you can go on the internet and you can see someone decapitating someone
right.
with a pigeon, probably.
Right.
Which would be difficult and disgusting.
Yeah.
And yet,
you'd
just
have to freeze the pigeon.
Just,
to ride it.
Yeah. Just the image of someone nursing has the whole country up in arms. Granted,
yeah,
child's old.
Except
but.
For, I don't think anyone's up in arms. There's like five people that are up in arms, and then there's the rest of us talking about those
yes.
who are up in arms.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's usually the way it goes, and it's also a mission accomplished.
Right.
It's like that fucking thing where the guy has the crazy tattoo on his neck, and he has those big earrings. You know, those guys who do those things where they pierce
yeah.
their earrings, and they punch them out like PVC Ugh. Pipes, so it's like you could fuck them, and it's like, the hell are you doing? And the next thing you realize, oh, we've been talking about this asshole for 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and then you go, fuck, mission accomplished.
Yes, this is
Kardashians.
Why... Yes.
The Kardashians.
Wasn't the Kardashians, exactly. And I didn't find it that interesting, and she didn't even crack my top three parents of the week. One does think about that kid and when his high school friends Google him and they see little, what's his nose,
right.
nursing his hot mom on the stool. It's probably not going to be a great moment for him.
No, but he's going to grow up probably feeling a certain way about himself that's going to be so powerful that it will not be able
I
to
agree.
Be pierced.
So let's talk about actual bad parents, because
yes.
all that woman did was nurse her kid.
Mm.
Clint Ross is just a regular 23-year-old guy. He wants to go out, maybe meet a pretty girl, maybe catch the Avengers at the local cinema. I don't know what he wants to do, but he has a problem. Who's two and who's his daughter?
Mm-hmm.
He could call relatives to maybe look after his daughter, or he could get a sitter, or he could call police
mm-hmm.
and say, look at this child I just found in the stroller.
Ah.
I don't know whose she is,
mm-hmm.
but I'm a good Samaritan,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like a pat on the back, and I can still make it to the 8:30 show,
mm-hmm.
and here you go.
Mm-hmm.
So he turns his 2-year-old kid over to the cops.
Interesting.
And he's done with
mm-hmm.
her, and they take her to the hospital. She's fine, and then they put her in foster care. A week goes by.
Ooh. Oh, okay. I see.
Week goes by, and he starts to have second thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was extreme.
Where's Mama?
No telling where Mama is. She is not mentioned in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling he's not a Jew, although Ross could go either
mm-hmm.
way. Clint?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jeff Ross's real last name is Lipschultz, by
the
way.
See, that's what was making me think. But there are a lot of Jewish
mm-hmm.
Rosses
mm-hmm.
that have shortened it.
Mm-hmm.
This guy went to the cops a week later. My bad.
Mm-hmm.
That kid I turned in
mm-hmm.
that I said I found.
Oh,
that was my kid.
Marion Ross, by the way, from
Happy Ross.
From Happy
Mrs.
Days.
C.
First name, Jewington
that,
Ross.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Jewington Esther
that.
Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did not even know that. Yes,
I
sorry.
I wasn't aware of that.
So he goes back to collect his kid.
Well, he goes back to tell the cops, that was my bad. It was
mm-hmm.
a hoax, and that wasn't exactly just a strange kid I found. It was my kid.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a bit suspicious since he had given them a fake name and phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Kid's already gone in foster care.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to do an investigation. And he did say to police that he was angry that day. He had a bad day. He regretted it. And maybe he should have left her with the relatives.
Don't you think, because we're talking about this the other day, that there must be a lot of third grade school teachers name with the last name of Carriage.
Right.
And so there's a lot of miscarriages out there. There's got to be a lot. Foster is a wildly popular last name.
Sure. Foster the people.
So there has to be a different.
Bananas
there
Foster.
There should come up with a different last name. I mean, at any given time, there's 10 guys in the NFL with the last name
right.
Foster.
They're all Foster kids.
It's confusing. And so it's like we're Foster parents or the parents of the Foster kids or something like that. Like that, there must be a fucking lot of who's on first confusion with that. They should give it. They've got to come up with a different name other than a very popular and commonly used last name for this.
Well, what should they call the Foster kids? I mean, something that's on the nose, like
I don't know, like recycles or
secondhand,
off-brand.
You do
pre-parented.
You do what they do in the
lightly parented
in the networks. There's two things they do. They don't call cars used cars. They call them previously owned,
right.
And they don't call. They don't say reruns. They say repurposed. So I'd say the repurposed or previously owned kids.
Certified pre-owned.
Yeah. That's like how a long time ago I said sluts should rebrand themselves pre-fucked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But at the where you buy the certified pre-whatever.
Owned.
Yes.
Yeah.
They check them out thoroughly, right? So they do an all points inspection.
Yeah.
It's like CarMax.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you can know that your lightly used child is basically in good running condition.
Yeah. I always think those,
the tires.
Those people, I always think they're saints, but then there's always a part of me that wouldn't want to hang out with them. You know
the
what I mean?
Foster
the foster parents?
Parents?
Yeah, they're always the most boring
What's
people
weird,
on the planet.
Because they're not going full-on adoption. So what are they doing?
It's even more saintly in a way because they're getting
more
troubled
suspicious.
Kids.
It's weird. Like, it's that kind of thing where you go, man, these people are saints. And then you go, they're so much better than me. And then you go, what's up?
Right. How much are they getting? There's 56 kids.
Yeah, what's
the
rub?
They do
right?
get
what's
a monthly
rub?
Listen, Mia, what's going
on? What's the rub?
Yeah.
And then you start looking at the couple, and you're like, hey, you don't seem so great to me.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, you go, once you get to like 15, 18, 21 kids, how much help are you doing? And then whenever they do the new special, it's always someone has a brilliant idea. Let's get her shopping. And it's like, oh, my God, she has 25 shopping carts going out to the
That's
van.
Hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many kids.
Right. All right.
Clint would be the worst parent of the week if not for Jessica Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, definitely not a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Who left her 2-year-old son locked in a hot car in Dallas so she could run into a Tejano restaurant and get some takeout. Or at least that's what she told the cops.
Mm-hmm.
An actual Good Samaritan saw her kid in the car, 83-degree day in Dallas, and called the cops. The cops got her from the Tejano restaurant. She said, officers, I was just running in for my takeout. I wasn't going to leave the kid in there very long, but the officer checked with the bartender, and in the 40 minutes that she'd been inside said Tejano restaurant, she had bought and consumed 4 margaritas.
What was a hot day, number one. Number two.
She was thirsty.
I feel like that breaks some
the
sort
food
of.
Was taking a while.
That's some sort of bartending code that got broken there.
You think he
there.
Broke it by Narcan?
I think there used to be a code with the bartenders. Like there'd be that guy who was constantly rubbing the same glass with the same towel.
I've seen him on Law and Order.
Fucking hates the spot maker. You know, he's just going at the same glass all day, just rubbing. What can I do you for, pal? And then you start talking to him about your old lady and he goes, shh. Think you got problems, you know, I got my old lady, you know, and they start, and he's divorced, but you're having problems, the next thing you know, you're talking, and you know, that was the dudes, what, you know, you guys have hairdressers.
Right.
You know, you have your chicks or your hairdresser, we both gotten screwed, because what happened is the bartenders have gotten replaced by the what can I do for a Mac guy, you know, that sort of Irishy guy with the gin blossom who's owned the joint for 20 years and all that kind of stuff. Like, and he's never read a book, but he's sagely in his advice.
Yeah,
you know, that guy,
all.
He'd never drop a dime on you. He knows you. He'll take care of you. That guy's the guy we used to talk to when we're putting back a few, when we're having trouble with the old lady.
One from a baby, the Frank Sinatra song.
You guys, that's right. You guys had your hairdresser, either gay guy or chick, a couple years older than you, like smoking while cutting the hair, doing the beehive, knows what you're talking about. Now, our guy has been replaced with the gay guy and the one stud earring and the sort of metrosexual kind of thing from the airport bar. And I don't know who you are anymore. And you're perpetually like 29 and you're 10 years younger than me, but you need to see my ID and you're being douchey about it.
And you have headshots.
You have headshots. And you guys got some kind of weird Asian thing going on where the chick doesn't understand a fucking lick of English and doesn't know what the fuck you're talking about. She's 80 pounds soaking wet. We don't have anyone to talk to anymore. You used to go to the hair salon and spill your guts. We'd go to the bar and spill our guts. Now we got nothing.
We just have podcasts and Twitter.
That's right.
That's why we have
social media. You're staring at your phone, and I'm staring up at the screen watching a little ESPN and the crawl over there, and that's about it.
Now the only people who want to talk to you are the dentist and dental hygienist, and you can't.
That's true.
Yeah, they do.
That's true.
They want to chat you, and the one is just sucking the saliva out of your mouth.
This is my impression of that.
By the way, the dental hygienist... no excuses in the bedroom, right? Like when the guy's going,
she's not sucking it with her mouth.
It's a machine.
When she's like, I'm just weirded out by it. Doesn't the guy have to go, come on, baby.
You're in people's plaque
all fucking
thing,
day
right?
with a spit vacuum. You can take a little love from your mouth.
You're right. You touch all sorts of disgusting things. And you're really close to yuckiness.
Yeah. I was saying that they bleeped it out, but I don't know why. Fuck, it's so horrible. The early years when I did Kimmel, Hugh Hefner was sitting next to me, and I said, like, I saw Hugh Hefner beating the bejesus out of some guy in the alley, and they bleeped out bejesus at midnight, by the way, beating the bejesus out of someone at midnight. I think they just freaked out and hit the thing. Bear Grylls was on there, and they're, like, showing footage of him, like, doing that survival thing. I don't know when it became so goddamn compelling, but what we do is we just drop a guy off in nothing but his underpants,
right?
And he's got to fucking survive for 4 days out in the Alaskan
outward
wilderness
bound.
You know, and he's talking, he's squeezing peat moss into his mouth going, I can stay hydrated for another couple hours, it'll give me enough strength to start a fire and all that kind of stuff. And we're just sitting there just glued to the TV set. Well, at some point he pulled like some crustacean or something off the bottom of a rock or something in a stream and just busted it open, just starts sucking the weird gelatinous protein out of it. And I said, "Well, Bear, when the wife wants a little oral in the bedroom, you got no excuses now, buddy. You can't do the hey man.
It's not my thing.
I ain't going there. No, because there's 200 hours of footage of you sucking on.
Yeah, you got a mouthful of abalone and lichen.
I've seen you eat a beehive. It was stuffed with raccoon shit. So don't tell me you wouldn't give your woman a little love. And they bleeped that shit right out. Oh. It was like they bleeped the idea out. Like, see, I was real careful not to say pussy
or
I said it a lie. I worked around it, but it's like they didn't like the idea
of
it. And I'm like, hey, fuck you if you don't like the idea. You bleep out the words I can't say, not the ideas you can't tolerate.
They're censoring you.
Thank you.
That's good stuff.
Thank you, Jessica
Christian.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Jessica Christian. Jessica Simpson, somebody tweeted me today, are you sitting down?
Yeah.
Line of maternity wear.
Can you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
What to expect when you're expecting to make a fucking fortune?
I know. Oh, God. With the whole thing where...
Exploding her baby.
You can get,
she's really doing it. I was just being ironic.
You can get fat. You can make a life out of getting fat. You can make a life out of getting
$3 million, Adam, to lose that weight for Weight Watchers, I think. $3 million deal. I had to lose... upwards of 60 pounds.
How much?
Nobody paid me.
That's what I'm saying.
I got nothing.
Mm. Ray Romano. Tom Coltabiano. Did I say that right?
Perfect. Perfect.
Well,
hello.
That's right. Good to see you guys. Great documentary. I just watched it this afternoon. 95 miles. Oh, is that someone's phone?
It's not my
phone.
There you
phone. Go. 95 miles to go. Directed by Tom. I especially enjoyed it because I've been out on the road doing some comedy, and I said to my wife at a certain point, you want to know what we do? Like, this is it.
Yeah.
Get in the rental car, sit in the hotel, complain about shit that has to do with specifically with the hotel, and then argue about where the theater is. And a lot of time stuff, like how far is the theater from? Can we walk to the theater? Do we have to drive?
Yeah.
When's the car going to come around?
Sounds like a boring movie.
It does, but it's funny. And Tom, you did this, and I'm guessing you're glad now, Ray, that he decided to chronicle this.
Well, I mean, at the time, it's a pain in the ass, but it's nice to have it now. Just
it's a recorded moment in my life, you know, in my career.
Right.
So looking back, yes, now I'm happy that it was done.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, maybe we should have those baby booties bronzed. Oh, it's a fucking hassle, and the bronze is so hot. Yeah. It's just a pain, the drying time. Like, I just say everything to me sounds like a hassle. So if somebody wanted to film me do anything, it'd be like, no. So thank Christ, Tom.
Well, I fought it.
That's the first time he's said that he's glad he did it. First time I've ever heard that. He's complained ever since the first.
Well, okay. It's because it's for years now. Look, it's years later, and I'm still trying to promote this thing.
What year were you out doing it?
That was what year of Raymond was that?
Season five of Raymond.
So
just about the height. Ray was still poor comedian guy in his head.
Right. But he had money.
But right. The show was just about to become this really giant hit.
And speaking of his head, I was making a note, but he had the mind bat, or he had something like the mind bat, which was an interesting. What was it actually called? What did you call it?
The mind bats. No, you're right. The mind bats. Yeah.
And it was interesting because it sounds sort of neurotic and idiosyncratic, but it's also, I think, something that successful people do, and you went out at a certain point, and you went out and golfed.
Yeah.
And you gave yourself a score to get to.
I had to beat the score? 90. It might have been 90.
Break 90. Yeah. You had to break 90, and right. You did not break 90.
No, I didn't break 90.
And so the mind bet was no more golfing for the next few weeks on the tour.
Yeah.
And you could not watch the TV in your room.
In my hotel room, I was not allowed to watch TV.
But you did.
I found a loophole.
You did what Jews do who want to use a toaster oven on a Saturday. You found a loophole.
I did.
You were able to go to Tom's room and watch his TV.
Well, yes, and
I love these first. Then, this is the widest of the first world problems you could have. When I did not break 90 out on the links, I could not watch the television back in my
but
first
just
hotel.
Just so you know, to give you a little backstory, gambling and myself don't mix well.
Right.
And I have a slight history of trouble with gambling, but it all happened before I had money.
Mm-hmm.
So I lost everything at one point, but everything was not much.
Right.
So I discovered this system of where I could kind of get the same thrill, the same rush,
right,
and not risk anything monetary. You know,
sure.
Just TV privileges. But I was still. It was just as much as if I had $100,000 on it.
But what's on the line? Because you gave away. You sent your golf clubs back to L.A.
Yes,
and you could not watch your TV in your hotel room anymore.
Another 5 days on the road. I could.
That's all you have, other than masturbation. But it's all you have on the road is your TV set.
By the way, okay, yeah.
But,
there's a loophole. Yeah. There's a masturbation loophole, but we won't get into that.
Show him.
Yeah.
I think I've been on the losing end of that masturbation loophole a time or two. But what happens if you turned on SportsCenter that night in your own room? What would happen?
Excellent question.
I just don't do it because I kind of make a – it's karma.
Where are the stakes? Are your kids involved? Is there a plane crashing? Do you know what I'm saying?
It's just knowing that it's like I made a promise to God. I can't go back on it. And if I do I will punish myself. I'll say, okay – in other words, if I put the TV on – that night by accident, I forgot that I had a mind bet. Then I'll have to add two more days to the penalty at the end of it. And by the way, and I'm not making this up, I'm in the middle of a lost mind bet right now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Can't be funny on a podcast.
To actually do this. No. No, I lost two days ago. I golfed and I didn't. And by the way, since then, that was like 8 years ago.
Right.
I've limited because my life was actually, I was actually screwing myself bad because I would sometimes say golf for the, I mean, TV for the whole summer.
Right.
And I was.
Oh, really?
Right.
Oh.
And then it was also like I was playing Pac-Man. If I don't get over this. So I've limited it. It's only golf, and I can only punish myself for 48 hours. So I'm in the middle of a 48-hour loss now, and I can't watch TV tonight in bed, and I can't golf, and I can't
bet the playoffs. I like the
right.
Yeah.
Do you have one of these going like, at all times?
No, it's just only golf. Now it's only golf. It used to be anything and anything I wanted to do to get
now,
some
run. Do you find like I'll tell you what I do. Every time I skip rope, that's my only exercise. Right. And at the end of my skipping rope session, I do the sort of crossover move you see boxers do.
Yes.
And it's sort of there and back is one. You know, right, left, right. That's one. And I have to do 10. And if I fuck up on the ninth, I have to start over again.
Yeah.
And if something happens where I fuck up on the eighth or ninth one five times around, I go, fuck it, something's going to happen to one of my kids. So I just put it in my brain that I'm not walking away. Doesn't matter. I'm walking away. I'm going to have the nanny flip a coin. I mean, what's that exact science? But I'm going to get these 10 peeled off. And I realize it's sort of a way to trick myself into getting more exercise.
Yeah.
Is this a way to trick yourself into golfing better or feeling something?
This is, by the way, this is like an exploration of crazy, right?
No,
now.
I know what you're saying because when you have money, in order to the thing about gambling is it there's a catch 22, and it should be 21 in the course of gambling. But there's a catch, which is you can go out and I can go out and lose $500 playing 21. It's no big deal. Back in the day, you were devastated. Now you have to lose a shitload of money or you have to win a shitload of money. So thus, it's real high stakes and it could get really ugly really fast.
Adam, do you have a gambling – like what Ray said is key because being his friend, he comes alive at the – I'll bet anything. I'll bet you her pen runs out before the end of the – like that. Now he's awake and alive. So
right.
It triggers whatever that is.
Because doesn't it have to do with punishment and reward and exerting some kind of control over the universe?
I don't want to go down that hole.
But we have. So that she's right.
Is this a masturbation hole or is this a different one?
It can go there at any point.
I've screwed over my friends because we've been going on – if we're going on a trip, I've had to tell them, listen, don't bring your clubs because I've lost mine, but I'm not going to be playing. Yeah. And my friend Manfro has a great quote. My guy, John Manfrolotti, another comedian.
Very funny
Manfrolotti?
Comedian, yeah.
I don't know.
No, I don't
actor,
know.
Actor on Ray's, oh, on sure. Raymond and Ray's.
But sure, he always blames me being screwed up in my childhood for doing these mind bets. And one, I had to tell him, listen, on this, we were doing a road gig and I go, Dallas, I go, don't bring your clubs. I can't go. I go, and he was like so pissed at me because, you know, because your father stuck his thumb in your ass when you were 13, I can't play golf on this freaking trip.
So is that the gay hole we're talking about?
Yeah.
Or the masturbation?
By the way, Ray almost didn't go to the Emmys one year.
Yeah, because of the mind bet.
He almost lost a mind bet of making 10 free throws in a row. And he's like, I almost didn't make
it. I had to make 9 out of 10.
This feels like you could be an alcoholic if you tried just a little bit.
Yeah, if I liked alcohol, that would be.
But you've channeled it a little different direction.
Yeah, I haven't had a drink since 25, but
not because of alcoholism.
No.
Mind bet, super
no,
low.
No, no,
mind
no.
Bet.
No, no.
Control issues.
Yeah.
Is there now it's weird because you're neurotic but you're normal also at the same time. Like it's a balance. It's a very interesting balance.
Well, that's what I like. I like the way I explain it is before any of this fame, I thought my cab driver hated me. Mm-hmm. And now I think my limo driver hates me. It's all relative.
Just keep going.
It's all the same. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I guess, if you can be normal and neurotic at the same time, I guess.
Well, it's like you're neurotic without the Judaism part. I think the Italian
you're high
part.
Functioning.
The Italian part sort of.
It's almost the same, though, isn't it?
It evens you out a little. It evens you out just a little bit. Because are you a hypochondriac?
Yeah.
Yes, Tom says yes.
Big time.
Yeah.
Not big time. He just Pirelled or whatever it is the moment before the show started.
I Pirelled
but
my
there
wallet.
Was something because it but fell there was on like your a counter. Chunk of stickiness
no,
on his wallet. I saw
sticky.
It.
That came from him.
I saw his finger sticking to his wallet.
There's something sticking in the wallet. Yeah, but I'm not like Howie Mandel's a bit overly. I'm not like that. And if I was out there, like I am kind of, something falls on the floor, I touch it, boom, Pirell. But then, if I go camping with my kids, which I've done once in the past 10 years, when you're out with the elements, I let that all go, and then I'm okay. So it's weird. There's like a there's, I don't know.
If
what
your crazy comes
it.
To the forefront, yeah. then you're
what,
in trouble.
Where, as far as your family and growing up, is there any, besides the dad dropping a digit on you on your 13th birthday, what else could we attribute this to? Were your parent? Was your mom freaked out, superstitious?
No.
Was she warning you about things that could happen?
I think it's from his. You know, you've seen Everybody Loves Raymond, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
So his father is very close to the Peter Boyle mm-hmm. character. So mm-hmm. I really think it's an exercise in controlling something you can't control, which was his environment with his father.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought this would go this way.
Adam, what else did you think of the movie? What else?
I really enjoyed just the fly on the wall look of what it is to go out on the road and do this craft.
Are you doing corporate gigs? Like, did you see that corporate gig
we had to do? Well, the Miami corporate gig was the first or second one, I can't remember. And then there were stand-up gigs in there. Right. And yeah, the corporate, I'm just going out and doing theater, thankfully. And the corporate gigs are great because they pay a lot, but they come with some rules and some regulations. Right. And yeah. Ray is a clean comedian, but even just saying oral sex and alluding to certain things that you really could have spoke of on the Tonight Show, to be honest, does that thing. And people like to do that thing, and you probably fall prey to it. We all do. Somebody will come up to you and go, I thought it was funny. I'm a little worried about Herb. And you're like, Herb? Why? What'd you hear from Herb? Nothing yet, but that's why I'm worried. He usually, and next thing you know, you're like up in your head, but and then you find yourself asking how Herb's feeling about you. And you're like, fuck, Herb makes $65,000 a year. Who the fuck cares about Herb?
And it's also the biggest laugh of the night.
Sure.
Is the oral one they tell you not to do.
By the way, Adam, the biggest example of that, which I saw, was Ray was doing the Tonight Show, and mm-hmm. the guy, McCauley, who had to see Ray's act, was Jim late McCauley. To the improv.
To
and
go
so,
see you perform
so
at the
Ray
improv.
So Ray does his set, kills. Now sure. McCauley shows up and says, oh, do your act for me in the dining room of the improv. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Ray does it, and then he does the last joke of his, okay, which is a very funny joke. You know the joke I'm talking about.
Shower?
Yeah. A hysterical joke. And McCauley goes, I don't think my boss is going to like that joke. So mm-hmm. for the next 24 hours, there's calls to David Brenner. Ray's manager steps in and is like, let's save this joke, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. And they end up getting, okay, you can do the joke. It's the joke that Johnny laughs at the hardest
right.
when he does it. And it's that third party, like, yeah, they're not going to really like that. And
I know.
It's like they're endowing these other people with their own conscience. And it.
It's always my favorite part of doing those shows when the segment producer calls, because you're doing the show Thursday. And the segment producer calls Tuesday, maybe Wednesday afternoon, wants to talk about what you're going to talk about. This is now that you've graduated from doing stand-up to sitting on the sofa there next to Jay or Johnny. Yeah. And they love – I don't know why. We always do a little role-playing with this. You don't have to have much imagination. You just go through the motions, because this is the part that fucking drives me nuts. They call you and they go like, so, Ray, what's been going on? You've been traveling? Yeah, how the kids doing? Anything going on with the kids?
Yeah.
And then some point you go, well, it's kind of a funny story with my kids' baseball game. And then you tell the story. Tell me a story, whatever you got. Like, I'll play the part of that guy, right? You just got to play it yourself.
Ray usually goes in with bits. I will say that. Like on Letterman or something.
Well, but
you're
then
saying
but when you're
right,
doing,
well,
but when
you
do
a bit.
Ellen
yeah, what do you got? What do you
when
got?
When you're doing
right?
a press, like when you do Letterman, I'm working on it for weeks before that little couch
all right, well, let's say,
but
do you
then
got,
when
you're
doing the View and Regis and this, yeah, then you
well,
got,
even if it's a Letterman,
yeah.
Well, what do you got? What do you what bit do you want to do
on Letterman?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I got a Letterman coming up,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have I know a bit I want to try,
all
but
right.
I don't.
I'll be the segment producer.
No, it's not.
Well,
polished.
Let's just talk it out. Let's
Adam
beat it out.
This is interesting.
All right, it's a true story. I want to talk about how I'm married for 24 years now.
That's good. Yeah, funny. No, it's good. No, get the family in. That's good.
I'm married 24 years, but I think, according to my calculations, I think we're going to be divorced in like 2 years.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. It's good because David likes family talk. Yeah.
Yes. Because of and the reason I came to that conclusion was that we were sitting at the kitchen table, and I was on my laptop. She was on hers. I was emailing somebody, and she looked up and said to me, "I can't stand the way you type." Yes, that's a true
good.
Story.
It's good. What else you got? I mean, anything, any vacations coming up, anything
well, that's
like that?
Why,
that's
yes,
what I love.
You're
I
right. Love I hate, the pre-interview is the worst thing.
It's the worst.
If what you else? Get a guy like that.
Yeah, what else? No, that's good. That's good, but what else? Anything, you're going out of town? Anything coming up? Holidays?
These
Mother's
are
Day? What do you got? Anything? Anything with Mother's Day?
I don't, really. My mother, I have an Italian mother.
No, that's good. It's good. Dave likes it. Dave likes it. Yeah. Italian mom. Uh-huh. Overbearing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know what? I'm going to cancel.
What else you got? What else? Yeah. You got something else? You have an Irish mom? Who? What else you got? You have black mom?
We could talk about the show.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What else you got?
I just did a podcast.
What else you got? Dave doesn't like podcasts. I do
well,
love
Well, that's why I request the same guy, because if you get a guy who's good.
Yeah.
Matt Roberts is the guy at Letterman, who's phenomenal.
Yeah,
but
Matt Roberts.
That bit is priceless, yeah, because it literally takes the wind out of your sails, and they could be less interested, and nothing you say is funny.
And it's always
are
funny.
They listening, or are they just trying to collect
a
certain
number
I
always
number
have
of things.
To say, they are listening.
They're writing while they're...
And I always, after every one, I have to go, it gets laughs. Trust me, it gets laughs.
I know. Because it's this weird, horrible process of you're doing a sit-down comedy routine in front of someone who has a steno pad on their lap.
Yeah.
And they're grunting, and you're trying to figure, and they don't laugh. They'll go, oh, that's funny. That's good. Okay. All right. What else? And also, you'll prepare, like, it'll be like at a certain point you'll go, well, we got 20 minutes of material for a 6.5 minute bit
yes.
here. Like we're never going to get this deep into this. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, and I'm guessing you've earned this, Ray, that they know who you are and they sort of know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And they give they trust you a little bit.
Yeah, Letterman lets me do the thing and they kind of trust me. If I tell them, oh, it's going to work, it'll be funny. Yeah. And they let me also... You know, if I want to curse occasionally, they'll let me curse and bleep it out or whatever. But it is scary to do the pre-interview if you get somebody like that, because then you also doubt. You say, "Holy shit, this stuff isn't funny."
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, they're going to go convey it to Letterman or Leno, and they're going to fuck it up horribly.
Yeah.
And that was Ray Romano. What's the mind bets? Gio, do you do any mind bets?
I think I used to as a kid. I had a lot of that weird magical thinking. I still have some of it, like just really bizarre stuff. Like, oh, I better not do this or I'm going to go to hell. It's like, wait, I don't believe in hell. What? So there's that kind of weird stuff. But I don't avoid cracks anymore or worry about any repetitive behavior. It seems like all kind of variation on OCD to me.
I think it's very much related to OCD. I remember when I used to skateboard as a kid, I would think, you better land this kickflip or everyone you love will die.
Those are some stakes.
And treat life that way.
I used to unplug all the electronics as like a 3-year-old because I didn't want the house to catch on fire and kill my mom and me in our sleep. And then I'd hug the TV and let it know it was a good TV.
See? All these mind bets. All these stakes.
And speaking of the time travel aspect of this as well, like the Corolla show to me, because I'm not out there all the time, there's like episodes where it's like, oh, I remember when that week episodes I was moving cross country, or that's when that chick dumped me, and the episodes didn't taste as good as they used to. You know what I mean? For you, this being 2012, what do you remember of this era of the show and you being there? Do you do that? Do you like gauge your life based on the guests on the Adam Carolla show? Oh yeah, Hank Azaria was on that day. That was a bad day.
Not really. I mean, it is kind of simultaneously a blur, but then when I really focus on a certain time, it becomes weirdly vivid. Like, I remember in 2012, that's when Mangria was kind of taken off.
We were at
Amalfi a lot.
Yeah.
And it was different. It was a different vibe, but not better or worse. It was fun.
Chris meets many celebrities, he can't keep track.
That's true. It's true. Gosh, the elbows
such
I've been
a problem.
Running. Yeah. All right, let's get to another clip because I'm done bragging here, Gio. It's too much for everybody. But
I agree.
Did you know that right now Geico is offering 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and
RVs?
RV policies.
I believe I've heard you mention something about this before.
That's right. 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Nothing. This is too good of a deal to be sitting around and letting happen without you. So save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Just visit geico.com to learn more. All right, Gio, what do we have for our next clip?
Adam Carolla Show, 827, just three episodes later after Ray Romano. Arsenio Hall, Dave Damashek, Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop. This has a little bit of Dave, a little bit of Arsenio. It's from May of 2012. Check it out.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison. Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with zip it cut. It's Allison. Allison.
Disco queen Donna Summer is dead. Yeah. At age 63, she had cancer.
Mm.
What's your feeling about her, Adam?
No beef with Donna Summer. She had a crazy Rick James hairdo for a while that kind of bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
But she sung a lot of... She sung music about fucking, or for people to get high and fuck too, and then she just became a crazy born again.
Is that not all music?
Well, it depends. Because
yeah,
some of
hair.
It is a little more
bad hair.
Little more overt. No, that's not the Donna Summer Rick James hairdo. There was a Donna Summer Bangs, Jerry Bangs.
Okay. Yeah.
He was
short,
my attorney.
Curly bangs.
He was my attorney for a while. Oh, he's my attorney, Jerry Bangs. That's Donna Summer,
yeah.
Jerry Bangs. That's crazy. Ooh. I'm scared of your hair.
Yeah.
Like, that's really one of those things where, like, if she came over and was going to sit down on your linen sofa, you'd be like, oh, let me get a trash bag for you.
No, I do this for every guest.
Right. Yeah, no, I always put a trash bag. Listen.
I don't want to be rude. Let me put down a trash bag.
Ask Bald Brian. He came over here yesterday. He got the same trash bag. You understand? And yes, I did remove all the pillows. That's right. Ask him. Ask him. He has no hair. It's not your hair.
Will do. Who's Bald Brian?
I think I'm Scared of Your Hair should have been one of her hits. Doesn't
mm-hmm.
that sound like a
I'm
song?
I'm freaked out by your hair, woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the whole
title. It would be a whole, like, it'd be like a whole best of. Like, we're going doggy style because of your hair in parentheses.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God!
Love
it could
you,
be...
hate your hair. Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that your hair, or did your scalp throw up?
Hard love and hair, woman. You know, like come up. Yeah, the hairs. Yeah, that hair was a disaster. Bangs are never right.
Perm record.
Perm. Jerry Bangs is a bad name and a bad hair. That's a fucking bad. But
no,
but,
curly hair can't be that short bang style. You just can't have bangs if you.
Well,
have curly
I'm telling
hair.
You, Rick James had the same fucking. Wiggises?
To similar effects.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're wiggle gangers.
Mm-hmm.
That means doppelgangers.
Yeah.
And wigs.
Either way, she'll be missed.
Okay.
So, her songs were really like, let's get it on. Like and yeah,
MacArthur
there's...
Park, Hot Stuff, Bad Girls, No More Tears, Enough is Enough. I'm freaked out by your hair, sister.
Mm-hmm.
She works hard for the money.
Yeah.
This time I know it's for real.
Yeah. I wonder if she just made enough money and lived off all that. MacArthur Park was crazy because that was a weird song to do a disco remake. That's like Richard Burton or something sung it originally. Someone left a cake out in the rain. You know that song? I don't think that I can take it.
Oh, yeah, I do know that song.
Because it took so... It's a crazy song about leaving the cake out in the rain. And it took so long to bake it.
It's a metaphor, Adam. There was actually no cake.
It was a muffin.
Someone left my wig out in the rain.
Now it's frizzy.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Rick James and her, same scary hair. Like, if you were coming up behind him, you would have fucked Rick James by mistake.
Yeah.
You're like, I just fucked...
Right.
Donna Summer's got balls?
That's
what?
Like, my mom has... or had a short black bob, and so as a kid, I was always going up to Asian women and fucking
mm-hmm.
them by mistake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she'll be missed. So then she found Jesus Christ?
Yeah, she had made... she was sort of dogged by the fact that she had made alleged anti-gay remarks that she was
trying to deny. Oh,
you mean
when she was into Jesus Christ?
That's what I'm thinking happened, yes.
Mm.
Yeah, Last Dance was a song about AIDS.
Mm-hmm. Speaking about just one of those religious things that seems weird, Bald Brian, you're going to have to help me here. Mm-hmm. The sober, used to be into drugs, Major League Baseball player with the sleeve tattoos.
Oh, John Rocker?
No.
No.
Who won
Rob
the home?
Dibble? Oh, go ahead.
Won the home run derby.
Oh, Josh Hamilton.
Josh Hamilton.
Sorry, buddy.
Josh Hamilton had four dingers.
Yeah.
About a week and a half ago.
Allison, that's a record.
I was going to say, what's a dinger? Sounds fun.
Home run.
Home run.
Okay.
Had four home runs and I think a double.
Four home runs in the same game has only been done
16 times.
Eight. Oh, there you go. 16 times.
Yeah. Which sounds like a lot, but there's been like 200 years of baseball
exactly.
And
yeah.
They play 5,000 games a year. So it's pretty rarefied air. Think about hitting four home runs when you get up. And I got to believe some of that stuff may be extra innings and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
He got up five times and hit four home runs. I don't know if the average, you know, maybe those guys, if they're hitting four home runs, maybe they're getting up seven times in
right.
a game. But anyway, he hit four home runs and five trips to the plate. And at the end, he just did the got to give it up for Jesus Christ, you know. And it's like they were trying to, you know, go, hey, what about you swinging a hot bat? And he's like, got to give it up for Jesus, man. He was watching over me and helped me out, you know, and whatever. And, you know, he did the usual athlete thing, got to give it up for Jesus Christ.
The pre-Tebow.
And it was like, okay, yeah, he's giving up for Jesus Christ. And then I thought, hey, remember last year when you tossed the ball into the stands and the guy leaned over to go get it and he fell off the balcony and died?
That was also Jesus.
That Jesus too? Like, what, by the way, Jesus got to get his priorities straight as it pertains to this dude, like, right?
Yeah.
He's killing like a dad who's there with his son. He's like, I don't know, he's a fireman or something like that. And he was like leaning forward. And nah, I give all praise to Jesus Christ. How about the dude who died less than a year ago when you were tossing him on the ball?
That's the thing that's so, I think, insensitive or myopic about people who, you know, were saved from the jaws of death in a car accident or something. It's like, oh, the Lord decided to save me. Well, what about the other people who died in the car?
Yeah. I concur. I mean, that's got to be the kind of thing that would ruin a lot of guys. Like, because that wasn't, you know, there's killing a man in the ring, and that's a sport. He's punching you, you're punching him. He hemorrhaged, and 2 days later, he never mm-hmm. came out of his coma and died in the hospital. But that's the sport you're mm-hmm. doing. Then there's that. Part of, and then there's hitting a foul ball and hitting someone in the head and killing them. And again, part of
accident.
The sport, but in a way that has more to do with the design of the stadium mm-hmm. than it does you. And then there's you throwing someone the ball and coming up short. Again, not on purpose, but this is volitional. I mean, this isn't
right.
part of the sport. This is you, and now the guy's dead. Which has got to be the weirdest thing to live with on the planet.
Yeah.
And ironically, professional ball player sort of coming up short on a shortish throw. But how much, hey, Jesus, thanks for the four dingers, can be left in you after that incident?
Or does that incident allow you to have a lot of, hey, Jesus, thanks for the dingers, because you need to find some way to deal with your guilt?
Don't know, but
on top of that,
I found
he's also,
it very ironic.
He's also a recovering addict. Like, he's famous for being, you know, formerly addicted to like heroin and stuff. So he probably has like blind faith. You know what I mean? Like, put it all on Jesus. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Or,
yeah.
There's that element of it too.
All right.
Well, Adam, when you were boxing, did you ever worry about really hurting the person?
No, I was worried about them hurting me.
Well, as long as there was some kind of fear going on,
and my feelings as well. It's not all physical. Arsenio.
What's up, dude?
What's happening, Arsenio?
Oh, man, I'm surviving, man. How you doing, Corolla? Hey, by the way, thanks for that advanced manuscript.
Oh, yeah, I sent you out my book.
Yeah, when is that coming out for the public?
My book is going to be out June 12th. Thank you so much for bringing it up.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it thus far, but hey, this is not about you. This is about me, Adam.
Arsenio. Arsenio, congratulations on making it to the final two, The Celebrity Apprentice.
Isn't it weird? When you get to the final two, you actually can pick an argument alone.
Yeah, it's fun. And I got to say, early on, I felt Clay. I was like, oh, Clay's going to be all over this shit. And I did not think Arsenio. I didn't not think Arsenio. I just thought Clay. Uh-huh. That was the only thought I had. Did you have any early picks?
You know what? There was something about Penn that was intimidating. And it was like, well, he has to win this, right? And
right.
then I figured, no, that's too easy.
Well,
but Penn was the first person that I kind of thought about.
I did too, but there's a part of the game that's the game, and then there's the part of the game where you're just shrewd and hardworking and smart. And I think Penn is shrewd, hardworking, and smart, but not a game player.
Yeah, he really didn't want to fuck with it, did he? I mean, there were times when he would, you know, he would do shit like go in confessional and just talk to them about Laurel and Hardy. And they would say, but do you think, you know, Arsenio is an asshole? And he would say, now, there's a misconception about Hardy's weight.
Yeah.
You know, and he would just go into some shit. And you know, he didn't want to play the game. I've seen him sing Hey Jude to fuck up a take.
Yeah, he would do that all the time, so you couldn't clear it, in other words.
Because I guess that's one of those songs that you absolutely just can't clear.
No, I mean, most Beatles stuff, but for some reason, Hey Jude's at the top, at least Penn's list. So excited.
Not to interrupt, Adam, but the reason I was saying that is because I know we went through some crazy, crazy shit about that Duran thing.
Oh, Arsenio, I did 20 minutes on that yesterday, and it fucking drove me nuts. No, it's all right. We did our sound alike or our feel alike Duran song that the lawyers wouldn't let us play in our PSA, and it drove me. Well, Arsenio, you experienced it, I'm sure, sitting next to me. But I was pissed.
Pissed. So you don't even need Hey Jude to create confusion at a print.
No, but listen, I felt, first off, I was really flattered that you picked me number one. It's everybody's schoolyard nightmare to come in and have a picking process in front of 8 million people. Like, it's normally just a PE coach. This is you getting picked. And I thought, well, I haven't been here in 11 weeks, so I'm going last. And Arsenio had the first pick and picked me first. And I was profoundly flattered by that, Arsenio.
Well, I had a reason. Here's the deal. You know Jimmy Kimmel really well. No, I had a reason. When I looked at everybody. First of all, when you were there, I thought you'd be there longer. Not only did we have a really good time, but you were playing some really smart ball.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe too smart, actually.
Sure.
So I also don't know if people realize that you're the only guy I kind of knew when I got there.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've been on the radio with you. You're an L.A. comic. I've interviewed Penn. I've never even met Clay. So as little as I know you, you were the one I knew the most. So that was always there. And we always had fun. And I felt that last week. I'd been through hell. I mean, we had stirred the turd over and over again, man. And I was like, I just want to have a good time going out of here. So I'm going to do a comedy show, and I'm going to start with Adam. Adam's a great writer. I never knew we'd have to do some of the things we actually had to do. But Adam's a great writer. So I really saw you as the guy with the jump shot. I got the white boy. So, bam, I pick you. And I'm thinking, I'm going to do a comedy show. So I'm going to try to get comedy variety. So I'm going to try to get Penn, obviously, because I felt Clay won't pick Penn.
Yeah,
he wants a nice week, too. That's the one person that has been his Riddler to Clay's Batman. You know?
Right.
So I'm like, shocked when he picks Penn.
Well,
and
you
at
know,
that point, you know,
Arsenio, it's a pretty good message to everyone out there listening, which I explain to all, you know, people all the time. You can argue with a person, you can have a contentious relationship, but when there's a job to be done and you're good at what you do, your boss will recognize that and oftentimes take you, even if it's to the detriment of the time you may be having with the person. Like, if you're good,
like myself being on the radio show.
Yeah, yeah, right. You're good, you'll work. And so Clay was like, I don't like Penn. I'm tired of Penn, but Penn's such a strong player. I'm going to take him. And better yet, I can't give him to Arsenio. That's just going to tip the balance in his direction way too much. So Arsenio,
what you just said, that's exactly what went through my head. Exactly that.
When do you leave for New York?
I'm here right now because I had to come in and do Fallon tonight.
Ah, cool. And, you know, remember at the beginning when Donald Trump said this was going to do amazing things for everyone's career?
I do remember. Well, we had Avery Fisher Hall, and he said that, I think.
Yeah. How much of that have you felt? Have you felt? And I guess after Sunday night, there's going to be quite a bit more of it because it's the big finale. But have you felt things coming up? Phone ringing, agent calling, that kind of stuff.
I'll tell you the big difference. instead of me calling and saying, can I judge the Miss USA pageant, they have someone call me.
Wow.
And so my life has improved by like two Lego blocks. So, you know, here's the deal. I don't know about magical things happening, you know.
Sure.
I think we still are guys who will work really hard. We got some visibility to ride to the next project. But I don't know if, you know, we're in a different business now. It's rediscovering itself. And
yeah.
What do you do if the world was your oyster right now, Adam, what would you do?
Oh,
if you could rub a lamp and have any vehicle, what would it be?
I would probably sit around creatively and just make, I'd probably just make like independent movies. I just write scripts and just do movies, I would assume. And I think I would do this podcast, too, because every single day something happens that pisses me off and I write it down and I have to bitch about it. And even sometimes when I go the weekend, I go 2 days or sometimes 3 days without doing the podcast, I feel like I'm like an anal gland that needs to be expressed. Thank you. Yeah.
It's a very sophisticated diary you got there.
Thank
that
you.
Podcast.
Arsenio, yes.
Go on.
I was just going to give you and us a plug, Celebrity Apprentice, live finale, Sunday, May 20th at 9 p.m. on NBC. It's going to be you. It's going to be Clay. There's a part of me, when I was thinking about this trip, there's a part of me that thought, oh, good, I can just sit there in the cheap seats and crack wise in the bleachers next to Teresa and all the other losers. I don't have to be sitting up there sweating it out with Clay. And Arsenio, is there a part of you that feels nerves about this?
Oh, yeah. I'm a nervous wreck, man. This is a real stressful week. I can't even imagine sitting at that table. I can't even imagine at my age hearing those final words without just having a heart attack either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
But
you've raised, how much have you raised for Magic Johnson, the Magic Johnson Foundation already?
I'm hoping it's about, you know, I'm no John Rich.
Sure.
I'm hoping it's about at $250,000. We didn't do as much focus on fundraising this year. I don't know if that was intentional or whether they knew we had no friends. But, you know, have you noticed that when you look at previous years, there's more of a focus on fundraising?
Yeah, I think probably somebody said, look, I don't like a competition that ends with some whale coming in and cutting a check for $300,000.
I agree with that. I always thought it was kind of lame how it just came to a check writing contest.
Yeah, I want to see
what's about skill.
I want to see, more importantly, I want to see who can go on Rachel Ray's show and make the best hoagie. You know, real important shit like that.
And by the way, you know, beyond making a hoagie, we were true veterans in that situation. We blew the ladies away when we went on the show because our presentation, I'm telling you, when you put a comic in a situation, you get 1,000,000% more for your money. We stepped up there with a damn sandwich. Lampanelli, a great veteran, but she had an anchor. She had the Gotti lady.
Yes.
Victoria Gotti, yeah. You know, and the bottom line is we turned that out, Adam. We had a show the whole thing.
I do, too. Arsenio, I'm going to be rooting for you, baby, because that's where the money is. Oh, and tell people, well, I don't know where the money is, but it's where my heart is. My guys over here feel horrible about that whole Magic Johnson shooting his earlobe thing.
Hey, by the way, you know, I mean, first of all, what other situation would I have been able to write a lot of Johnson & Johnson earlobe commercial Q-tip jokes? And I mean, it stimulated the funny bone and the ink pen. But that was good TV. Look how they hung the whole cliffhanger on that situation.
I know, I'm looking at him right now.
Without that mistake, what do they have?
I know, I'm looking at the guy right now. But
obviously, we're dumb.
that's scary. But don't worry. We'll see. We'll see if it gets resolved. I'll leave it. I'll let it dangle out there. Arsenio, I'm excited.
Hey, Adam, just one. Wait, Adam. One more thing.
Yeah.
You know, Magic at some point could have said, should I look at the camera while I'm...
Yeah.
So I'm not even sure how that happened. I think someone had a contact that day.
Contact high.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. I like that. Arsenio, I'm going to see you Sunday. I can't wait.
That's cool, man.
Win, lose, or draw, we'll go out and have smoke a little spleef and have a beer after the show.
you know what? Let's go get some of that cooking wine.
There's a wine store that me and Arsenio discovered down the street from the hotel. Good to see you, my brother, and I'll see you on Sunday. Take care of yourself. Arsenio Hall.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Sydney, Australia. St. Vincent's Hospital went into lockdown as police investigated a 66-year-old patient with a hidden gun in his artificial leg. Definitely Not a Jew.
Dave Damashek, finally.
Hello.
Triumphant return to the Adam Carolla podcast. Dave, you and I have to do a basic cable commentary on something soon.
I'm in for that. I'd love that. I have a lot of candidates. You know what's a more modern one? It seems like we tend to look at the 80s pictures for these basic cable classics. Although you did Gone in 60 Seconds, right? So that's a 90s picture.
Probably, yeah.
Titanic. That's a great Titanic is an absurd picture.
I feel like you might need a lady's voice in that one as well.
Victory. Yeah, that'd be you.
That could be you.
And Victory, the great...
Oh, the Stallone movie?
Oh, it's a wonderful picture.
Where he plays soccer?
Yeah, Michael Caine is a soccer player. He's not a coach. He's one of the players. He comes around and plays. Pele.
Yeah, Pele's in that movie.
That's a gem. I mean, obviously, that we could...
I feel like
won't be hard to come up with which
ones. There used to be a lot of guys showing up in movies. Like LeBron James doesn't really show up, and I guess he shows up as LeBron James in a movie now.
Yeah, that's
or Mike Tyson shows up as Mike Tyson, but Pele is just another one of the many black prisoner of war.
Growing up as a but he's a horrible actor and it throws you off. You can excuse Mike Tyson stinking because he's Tyson,
but also he's in a German prisoner of war camp
when I was a boy in the streets of Brazil.
Yeah, it's crazy. He was like the most famous guy on the planet for a while, and I don't know that movie. It was about they had to play soccer. It was The Longest Yard. It was a European. It was like the metric version of The Longest Yard. It was The Longest Meter.
Oh, no.
Is that what it was?
No, it's a serious-minded drama.
I know,
Adam.
But they had to beat the guards at soccer?
They played the Nazi Scourge.
The Scourge of the Nazis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They went head-to-head with them. The Nazis got them down 4-0 by the half. And then I'm not going to say another
one. No spoiler alerts. All right.
Just called Victory.
Dave Damashek, the podcast is the Dave Damashek football program. You can get it on iTunes. You can go to davedamashek.nfl.com. And you can Twitter him at Damashek. Dave, do you have some sports for us? What do we got going
here? I do, but real quick, I just wanted to say this is a little uncomfortable, but Adam, you've been butt-dialing me quite a bit lately. And
yeah,
at least half the time, it's pretty negative stuff I'm hearing about, Dave.
You know me, I talk shit about everybody. I talk about everyone being annoying.
At least you're a man. the annoying thing. I had no idea that you thought that.
I talk about every guy thinking he's hot but really being annoying. That's what I do, and not knowing that much about sports. That's what I do that about everyone, Dave. I'm a comedian. You can't listen to me.
You know what? I respect you for being man enough to say I was doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew I was doing it. So I was fucking with you. I was doing, man.
All right, listen. With that being said, hit it.
Oh, the opening.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Number one.
Who?
Sports. Do it, Dave.
Oh, my God. I feel so... Oh, suddenly, I'm having a horrible... chilly flashback.
You're picturing like Jack Silver looking
behind
the glass.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of. Like, keep it tight, fella. Keep it tight. Third wheel.
Why don't you lay out for the segment? Just sit outside in the hallway. We'll take care of the interview.
Sniper in the weeds. Now, my kid's going to be sitting in an air-conditioned box fucking the shit out of his avatar.
It's just a waste of my time.
What happened? He got a concussion. His cock slipped out of his avatar and he hit his forehead on his iPad.
Boy, our generation really did get screwed by that. Sonny is going to be around for that great day when that happened.
Oh.
But we got jobbed because it was promised us that, what was it called even? That
virtual reality?
Virtual reality.
Yeah, like Lawnmower Man.
You're not going to watch TV anymore. You're going to be too busy making sweet love to whatever supermodel strikes your fancy.
Right.
I never realized that was the hidden promise of all the virtual reality stuff.
Oh, yes.
Doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. Yeah, and then... That was what we heard that one, and then of course we were all supposed to be riding around on those things that you stand up on.
It started with
Segways.
Started with fembots, and then, well, yeah, and but it's going to be weird too that my son, I mean, not that he's going to be straight, but if he is, on the off chance that he's straight and gets married, will he get to have sex with his avatar, his fembot, is whatever it is, virtual reality, whatever? Like, is that going to strain the relationship?
Is she sleeping with some kind of bot?
Oh, that's forbidden. No.
Okay.
No, I'm trying to think.
It'll be in your vows. Would it be weird?
I think that would be acceptable in the same way that if you're in a committed relationship, you're okay with the guy looking at porn. I feel like that's just sort of an offshoot of porn.
I don't know.
If you are.
You're okay with it?
You know what? It's not in my face at all, actually. It's something we haven't talked about. I just trust that every dude looks at porn, and I'm okay with it.
Right, well, so, but, I mean, here's the difference. It's the same difference between saying it's a step worse, too. It's one thing to say, you know, I'd like to take Jennifer Aniston between the sheets and your old lady going like, all right, she's on your list. She's you're five. Because it's always play the game and say, like, who's on your five? Who are the five women you're allowed to be with? Name her best friend and then see what she says about that. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to fantasize about old Wendy there. You know, Wendy next door. What about that? You know, that wouldn't go over as well.
You're right.
Same thing. Yeah. If the avatar is Wendy next door, I bet that won't go over as well.
Right.
I have Jennifer Aniston and I have all the usual suspects, but I also have one space open for someone I call Jane Doe. Chick I meet on the road.
Well played.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very clever.
It's like the seat you guys leave for Elijah. Except for my cock. You know what I'm saying?
I have Elijah on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of religion, and I do love that tradition of my people of adults often getting up at the middle of a dinner and opening a door for Elijah the ghost to come in and join us.
It's just good. Makes good sense. That's
you know, the Saints are actually doing that as well. The Saints are leaving a seat open for Sean Payton, who is not dead he's just suspended for a year, but they're leaving a seat open for him.
I was laughing about that on a sports radio show this morning saying, well, that seat's left there for Elijah. And boy, wouldn't that go over huge in the Saints locker room? I mean, imagine all those guys, especially in Louisiana, all those huge men of color just laughing.
Oh, Marcus Colston and Pierre Thomas will think that's a gas.
Yeah. Oh, you are so witty, Ace Man.
But speaking of religion, Tim Tebow is, you know, he's with the Jetropolitans now. Mm-hmm. And exciting news, he's going to be baptizing Bart Scott, their big foul-mouthed linebacker, you know.
Oh, really?
You know what I'm talking about? He's a tough guy, but now he's going to get baptized by Tim Tebow.
Oh, boy.
Please, HBO, please. Get this Ship of Fools on Hard Knocks ASAP.
Oh, I mean, please,
this is,
please.
Is there a team that you can think of that would be better than that ridiculous crew?
No.
That fat man is their coach.
Oh.
Tim Tebow, the absurd, and the rest of them.
Oh,
the same
Cromartie
story.
Listing off his Baker's dozen of two-year-olds.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be awesome. Yeah, you got to do Hard Knocks. What's up with that? And look,
they turned it down, didn't they? It was offered to them.
I think I heard correctly, the Jets have decided they don't want to do it.
Well, here's the thing. Then do it with a peewee football team. I need a fix. Like, I'll take any Hard Knocks. Pick a junior college team. I'll watch. I really will. I mean, you pick. Pick an arena team. It doesn't matter to me. Just get those cameras in there and start rolling.
There's just nothing more awesome. The best thing is, and it's, you know, Antonio Cromartie aside, listing literally I think 4 or 5 2-year-olds that he has by different baby mamas is funny. But those individual things aside, there's nothing better than the process of the drama of a guy getting his dreams dashed when the hatchet man comes in and tells
the Turk
him,
comes down the hall.
Bring your playbook. Coach needs to see it. It's just it's horrible.
Let me tell you something. Here's my only thing with the Turk. My Turk
argument would be that when he comes down the hall and does it, yeah, man, we need your playbook now. Why do you got to come at 5:45 in the fucking
morning?
That
was what the Cincinnati Bengals did. She's like, no wonder you stink, because look how you run your organization.
I'm getting cut from the team. How about you let me sleep in, asswipe? Can I figured you'd want some breakfast?
I figured you'd rather get the news.
So you want me to get,
why would I want that? Let me get some sausage and then.
You want me to get cut while I have a boner? It's going to seem like I like being cut.
Or what if ever after, then you do like being cut?
Oh, interesting.
Or how long could you delay being cut by saying, I don't know what happened to my playbook. I got to look for it. Yeah, you could maybe like extend it by like a week, two, maybe it could be October by the time it turns out.
Meantime,
you've earned a starting position at right cornerback.
Here's why I'd make a horrible head coach, because I'd say to the Turk, look, we're going to have to cut Willis and Johnson. And he'd be like, okay, you want me to bring them? No, don't bring them back here. Just go cut them.
Yeah, that's
just go
the right
turn their playbook. Look at the idea. Well, why fucking sit through this humiliation with them sitting, you know? Well, there's bullshit, by the way, where I'm going, listen, we really liked a lot of things you did. Okay.
Yeah, but pretty anticlimactic. Yeah, I got the news 10 minutes ago when they said that when the Turk knocked on my door and told me to bring my playbook. I know the score.
Right, right.
And they say, we'll help you get on another team if there's interest. It's like, oh, yeah, we'll take that guy's garbage. Yeah. Send him on over.
That's the same as Andy Reid, the Philadelphia Eagles head coach, saying, yeah, I recommend Donovan McNabb to anybody. Anybody who's looking for a quarterback. Hey, Andy Reid, as far as I can tell, just about every NFL team carries 3 QBs. You could throw him at on your roster. If you believe in him so much, go ahead and add him to your team.
I like Andy Reid because he wears the outfit that fat snowmobilers wear. Like it's a weird jumpsuit. He wears a weird all-weather pants parka built into one another. It's just a cool outfit. All right, where the hell did the time go? Do we have an outro?
Oh, wait, I got one more thing for you. I got one more thing for you. And first of all, since I'm an NFL employee, I feel obliged to say, I think that they're going to solve this concussion thing. It's getting a concussion when you already have one, right?
Well, look.
It's taking the guy out when he has a concussion and letting him heal and then letting him play. I feel like I should say.
They have done nothing about this. We always say that they used to. Yeah, there's him in his weird jumpsuit.
It's like
thing.
A puffy onesie.
Yeah, with a crazy utility belt that hangs around it. The
Batman.
All right. They used to just laugh and say the guy got his bell rung and put him right back in there. And now they're not. And they're going to have doctors that aren't paid by the team,
right.
I believe, that are there to decide whether these guys can play or not. And they're going to err on the side of caution, and it's going to help a lot. All right.
Yes. All right. One more. Can I do one more thing just since we're playing the oldies?
Mm-hmm.
Bald Brian, if you please.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. A song, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. I need it again. I wasn't ready for it. It's two, remember? I'm out of practice with it. Mm. Crepe of the week. He or she is the crepe of the week. That's right. There's someone I felt obliged to address after Mother's Day. On Sunday, I woke up and I opened up my Twitter. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, two-thirds of the messages on there were things along the lines of, hey, happy Mother's Day to the best mom in the world. I love you, Ma. That kind of stuff.
Right.
And you think, oh, that's, you know, on face, that's nice, you know, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then I thought about it for a second. I thought, wait a second, Mo Damashek's not on Twitter.
Right.
Is Mama Carolla on Twitter? No one's mother's on Twitter.
Right.
You're not sending her a personal message to thank her for being a great mom. You're showing the world what a terrific kid you are.
Right.
How adorable. What a sweetheart I am. See everybody? Mm-hmm. Everybody reading this? Look how I take the time to honor someone else who's special in my life. They're not seeing the message. So stop wasting my time with your personalized greetings on Twitter to your loved ones. Same thing with the people who eulogize people on Facebook.
Yeah.
Someone died and you're writing that this is how you do it in the 21st century? You're right, I'm going to miss so-and-so.
Right.
R.I.P. And I've railed against R.I.P. before, too, because in a world now consumed by LOL and IDK and everything else, the pioneer of this nonsense, of this abbreviated nonsense, was that lazy a tombstone maker who in the 19th century was thinking like, Well, that dead guy's got a long name. I got to etch in there, and it's Friday, and it's 4:45. I want to get out to the happy hour. Rest in peace.
Yeah,
everybody knows R.I.P.
He was the tombstone chiseler.
Close enough.
With Epstein Barr.
Yes. So these Twitter people honoring their parents,
yeah,
and these R.I.P. LOL and people out there on Facebook. Yeah. Congratulations! I've got a message for you. You're the creep of the week. Thank you. That's it.
I do every once in a while, either someone brings it up or I have the thought of, I wonder if my mom and dad, I wonder if they email, I wonder if I could get them up on, and then I do this thing where I have a scale in my head, and on the right side, there's like a kernel. There's just like one grain of sand in the good department, and then there's a huge dump truck backing up.
Yeah, I got my dad on Twitter.
Bad sand on the other side, and realize, no. This is, I could use it once a year when I'm trying to get out of a dinner and I don't feel like calling someone and dealing with the confrontation and the nauseating tone and stuff. But God knows the shit that would come in the other direction.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, bullet dodged. None of the Corollas do any emailing.
Don't break the seal.
No Twittering, no emailing. No one knows what the fuck anyone else is doing, and that's the way they like it.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a freedom with that it is a medium that you can probably assume that your parents aren't.
It's like a different language.
I think our buddy Hench kicked this door open with his dad, and now he gets these long-winded manifestos about the Sox loss, you know, crucial game 32, stuff like that. You just need old people who can type plenty of time.
Well, also, they're going to have a lot of questions, and they're going to turn to the person who opened the door for them.
Right. That's right. Do not get your. Did your parents do the emailing and all that?
Email, yes, but not with. But I do get the non-punctuation from dad. But no, not with the Twitter. No, I've banned them from Facebook.
Oh, good.
Banned.
I love that.
And that was a nice supercut of some Dave Damaschek and Arsenio Hall. Great show.
Can't beat it.
Can't beat it. Adam's buddy from Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, don't say it. Oh, you sent douche chills down my spine. I still hold grudges about that for Gary and the rest of you staff members. So, like, you guys don't even care anymore, but I'm still like, we have to get revenge.
Yeah, you do care about that a lot more than I do.
Yeah.
Gary and I talked about that on the water cooler. So if anybody wants to check out what Gary and
I'm
I
only like
about,
10 minutes into the latest one, so don't ruin it for me.
Okay, well, subscribe to the water cooler. It's the podcast
I do. Kaylin announce a third baby?
Not yet. I do it with Kaylin, Dawson, Matt Fondelier, Gary Smith, and we talk about working at Corolla Digital and more. Sometimes Jeff Cesario's on there, too. So please check out The Water Cooler, wherever podcasts are.
It's the next best thing to getting hired and actually getting to hang out there in person.
See? That'll do it for Corolla Classics. We'll be back tomorrow, so subscribe to the Corolla Classics feed to hear that episode. We'll see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Well, and get it on.